Blog Talk Radio.
We're here live tonight on your PGN network. Yeah. The place where we do it more than we talk about it. That is necessary to you personally. And if you like that kind of stuff, you're in the right place. You know, the type of people we love to see things go on, you know. And, you know, you never know when you're going to have your breakthrough, when it's going to happen, what's going to go on with it. It's just always been, it's different for everybody. It's amazing how everybody has a little bit different way of breaking through and the levels that they break through and the different ways people break through. We value every breakthrough we ever see. You know, I don't care if it's a little bit. Anytime God does something, even if it seems like just a small amount compared to, you know, what you are hoping for in the future, then we always give thanks for every little thing, everything God does. And it's never really small when God does it. It's really big. And so when we have gratitude and thankfulness for everything God does, then it just changes the way that I think that we live for the Lord and that we, the way that we, you know, see God and the way that we are thankful for everything we see Him doing in our life. And be thankful for the small things. You know, don't forget that. That's important. If we're not thankful for the small things, you know, God can't bring us the big things. So sometimes we need to give God glory and give Him praise for, you know, the things that He's done in our life. It may not seem big to somebody else, but if it's big to you, even if it's little to you, give glory to God. But sometimes He tests us to see if we're paying attention. Right? He's testing us to see if we're paying attention to what He's doing. And when you give Him the glory for the, quote, small things, then, you know what, He knows. He knows you're going to give Him the glory for everything and give Him the credit for it. And so that's what we're looking at. Yeah. And we are excited. Tonight we're going to have Gary from our show, who's been with us. Gary and Mary have been with us for a long time. And we are expecting them to come on tonight. I think I see them there on the show. And we're going to get them to share their testimony about what Gary went through, you know, about a year ago, about this time of the year. And it's really awesome. I wanted to just share it earlier, but I just felt like, you know, tonight was a good night. So we're going to get Gary on here in just a moment. So, Gary, if you can be ready there, and Mary, we will pick up on you here just a little bit. Nicole from D.C., remember last night she said she was having, needed somebody to pick her up to go have a procedure done. And she said she God has answered. It says, thank you, Jesus, for somebody who's going to take care of that. So those of you that were praying about that and thinking about that with Noel, I mean, with Nicole, she got it. Looks like she's got it going on, so thank God for that. All right, we thank God for every little thing, right? Sometimes some things might seem like a lot to you, but they're a lot to somebody else. And we need to give room for people to give glory to God. You know, it's like Nicole getting that. I mean, she just texted me that because I texted her earlier today because someone on the show said, you know, they were really praying for her and wanted to help her find a way to get to her appointment. Somehow or another, she needs some help with that. And, you know, they offered to do that. So I sent that to her. And she says that she got it figured out. So, Noelle from California, thank you for being concerned about Nicole. And she found a way through that situation. So thank God. We thank God for that. Thank you, Jesus. And that's what Nicole says. God has answered. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Praise God. That's awesome. All right. We'll give you the glory for that. And amen. Amen. You know, one thing that, you know, I really believe God's wanting to teach us how to do is how to speak, how to let God speak through us, how to let him talk through us, and how to, it's like when you're used to all your life listening to your mom and daddy talk to you and your brothers and sisters or whatever you have, your classmates, your friends, you know, and you hear their voice and you talk to them. You know, when you first begin to learn how to talk, you know, it takes, you know, you start as every child starts out, and their mothers and fathers start teaching them how to talk. Their brothers and sisters teach them how to talk. You know, it's an amazing thing that goes on, and we sometimes I think we take that for granted. But, you know, it's our parents that usually teach us how to say, you know, goo-goo dada, you know, and mama, and I want that, and I want this. And if they can't figure out how to talk it, they'll just cry, right, because that's the way they communicate. And so, you know, as we learn how to, you know, let God communicate through us, it's like having a device put inside you and learning how to use it, you know, to speak in a way that you never have spoken before. Yeah, it's really amazing. It's really, really amazing. And so, you know, that's what we're learning how to do. One of the things that I really believe in, try to teach and talk to people about, is God can use everybody to speak, to pray. You know, if you just learning how to pray is like learning how to talk to God, right? I mean, if you're just praying around and you don't really know what you're praying about, and, you know, you don't know how to pray, then you learn how to, you know, listen to your heart, listen to to the Holy Spirit, and start learning how to pray in line with what the Holy Spirit wants. That's one of the ways that you learn how to speak the word of the Lord, is that just in your prayer time where you know, you learn how to, okay, am I praying correctly, God? Because when you're praying, what are you doing? Usually you're talking. You're communicating. So you're saying, Lord, you know, I know that the Bible says that if I don't pray asking correctly or asking the right things, then you're not going to answer them. So the Bible says when you pray and you pray incorrectly, you miss it, or you pray amiss. You know, you miss it. And so let me find the scripture for you here. When I pray amiss, I'm going to just do, I didn't plan on talking about this tonight. It's kind of like, hallelujah. See if I can find the scripture. All right. Let me find that here in just a moment. I don't really see that right there. It didn't come up in my first thing at Google here. But, you know, a lot of talks about when you pray, you know, I'm kind of going spontaneous with the information here. Although I have Gary on tonight, and we're going to, you know, talk about his testimony. As I knew he was coming on tonight, I asked him, I said, we're going to talk about your testimony tonight or tomorrow night. I wasn't sure which one. He said, well, I'll be on. And so as I started realizing, he sent me a little text about what's going on with him. You know, that's kind of what made me think tonight, I'm changing my message tonight. I'm changing the message tonight because what I'm seeing with Gary is really making me think about this thing about learning how to speak and speak the word of the Lord and talk to God, right? Talk to God and talk to people about God and let the Holy Spirit teach you how to use your voice and articulate words that people can be blessed by that come from God. So it's like you're learning how to use a device. Somebody puts a device inside you. A doctor implants something within you, and you learn how to talk through it. It's the same thing with learning how to talk to God. You know, you've learned how to talk to your mom and dad. You learned how to communicate with people. You know, you've learned how to do that. So you have the ability to learn how to communicate. Learn how to talk to people. Your mama says, nah, we don't talk to people like that. Don't do that. That's naughty. You know, like our mamas do or our daddies do. Don't talk to your mother like that, boy. You know, you better not talk to your mama like that again. That's disrespectful. And teach us how to talk to people and how to articulate and how to, you know, even learning how to form your sentences when you're a child, learning how to talk And it's like, you know, so we spend all of our days learning how to talk to people, and then all of a sudden we're going to talk to God. So we have the ability to be trained on how to talk to God, how to let God use our voice to speak to people, to build people up, to prophesy to people, to let the gifts of the Spirit speak and work through our voices. Amen? And so, friend, this is something that we're, you know, that we focus on around here. This is one of the things that we're believing God, that it's not just preachers that preach and God speaks through preachers or prophets, but it's people who are born again who learn how to let God speak through them. And like I said, it's like we're going to talk with Gary tonight, and I haven't talked to him about this, you know, much, but a little bit. And I know that he's learning some things here, and he's got a device that's been planted inside of him, and he's learning how to use it. And I started thinking, this is amazing. It's like learning how to let God speak through us. It's amazing. It's amazing. So, you know, here's the thing, friend. You don't have to be a super prophet. You don't have to be a super anything, a super prayer warrior. All you have to do is be in love with Jesus, get into the Word of God, and when you practice in your prayers, it's like practicing prophesying. And most people don't connect those two things. You're learning how to pray, right? Most people learn how to pray. It's one of the things you do. You may not pray, want to pray in front of anybody. You may not want anybody to hear you pray because you don't know how to pray, but you're developing your prayer life. You're learning how to talk to God. Well, friend, that's how I learned to prophesy to people. That's how God did it with me. I wouldn't tell people I'm going to prophesy over you. I would just start praying over them. Like many of you call and say, let's pray for you. And when I start praying, I start prophesying. I've learned over the years how to hear the voice of God and let the voice of God use my voice to speak through me, to say things to people and to build people up, encourage people. Like last night we had, who were we talking to? We're talking to Jennifer from North Carolina, I think, North Carolina. And this just happened last night. And so I think she was my first or second or third call, I can't remember. And so I'm praying for her, right? And right when I'm about to finish praying for her, I saw a picture of water coming out of a water hose. It wasn't a water hose, but it was kind of like coming out, the only way I can describe it is coming out of a water hose, but it was split. It was divided, and part of the water was going to the right, and part of the water was going to the left. Now, and I was telling her this, and I said, I see this. I don't even know what this means. And the water's going to the right, and the water's going to the left. And I said, you know, about the time in my mind, I said, come together and be one. You know, I said that in my mind as I saw that. All of a sudden, the two became one, just like that. Just like that. And I said, I don't know what that means, Jennifer, but that's what I saw. She said, Randy, you're not going to believe this. You are not going to believe this. She said, I have a picture of that very thing right here in front of me in my room. As I'm talking to you right now, it's sitting right here in front of me. You just described the picture that I have in front of me, where there's a like a waterfall, and I remember how she described it exactly, and the water was coming out, and it was divided. Some of the water was going to the right, some was going to the left. And then some angel was doing something I can remember, and it somehow came together. And I said, you got to be kidding me. That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, how did that happen? That happened because once you start developing talking to God, God starts talking to you in all these different ways. There's so many different ways that God speaks to us. And if we cannot limit ourselves to one thing or two things or five things, but many, many things, and take the limits off, and when you're praying to God, learn how to listen to what you're praying and let God teach you how to use your voice to articulate the right prayer. That's just in prayer. We're not talking about prophesying over somebody. We're talking about just praying over somebody. So I used to pray in English, pray in tongues. I used to pray for hours every day. And I pray in tongues, pray in English. And I wasn't very good at praying in English. I was better at praying in tongues than I was praying in English. But that's just what I did. You know, I did that a lot. And so I found myself getting scriptures, reading scriptures, and reading them out loud so I could hear myself say them, because I really wasn't a very good speaker at all. The very thing that I was least good at in my whole life ended up being the very thing I spent all my time doing. And the thing that I wanted to do in life, and that was be a ball player. Like when I got saved, the first thing I wanted to do was go be a ball player. So I went to college, started playing ball. Moved up quick. I was an athlete, natural athlete. moved up fast, playing ball, and all of a sudden the Lord, you know, took me a different direction without me knowing what was going on, actually. And so I ended up, you know, not being able to do the only thing that I knew how to do, and that was be an athlete. God took the very thing the only thing I had confidence in that I was good at, and that was playing ball, baseball, football, ball. I was going to play college ball, and many people said I was going to be a professional. I could be a professional easy. And so, you know, I mean, that was the thing that I was going to head towards. Well, I could do that. You know, when I got saved, I said, you know, I'm off drugs and I walk off alcohol and all that. I think I'll just straighten my life out and go play ball. That's what I always dreamed to do. Well, it just lo and behold, ended up God took that, allowed that to be removed from me, and ended up having me focus on learning the Bible and talking and speaking to people, which is the last thing that I could do. In high school, I couldn't talk. I couldn't even read a speech in front of people. I was just so something. I don't know what it was, fearful, shy. I don't know what it was. I just couldn't do it. Literally, I could not even read things in front of people. And so now I end up doing the very thing that I was the least good at in the natural realm before I got saved. Now that I'm saved, God doesn't let me do the only thing that I was good at, and that was play ball. He wouldn't even let me watch football for 10 years. That's how obsessed I was with sports. He wouldn't even let me watch ball for 10 years. Now, that's not for everybody. But what he was doing was he was showing me, he said, Randy, if you'll just trust me and start learning how to let me talk through you, I'll talk through you in ways that not everybody can talk through you, that not everybody can be used to be talked through by me. Let me fix that. Yeah. So I went, wow. I mean, you know, I can't see that happening, but whatever. And so little by little, it was all about talking, speaking the words, praying words, praying things. I start praying for people. Who says, can you pray for me? I'm going like, I really don't pray in public much. Well, can you pray for me anyway? I know you're a Christian. I go, okay. So I just start kind of stumbling around praying for them. And when I would pray for them, you know, I prayed in private, but I just didn't pray over people that much, you know. I'm not saying the name of Jesus be healed. That was about it. But a prayer over them, like, I just didn't do that. And when I started doing it, because I'd already been practicing how to let God pray through me in prayer, when I started praying over people, all of a sudden information started coming out of it. They look at me like gasping for air going, how did you know that? I'm like, how did I know what? Well, what you just said, how did you know that my son was having this situation? I said, I don't know how I know. You know, but what I did, it wasn't that I was super spiritual. It's just that I learned how to let God use my voice to speak through me in prayer and how to pray, learning how to pray. You're the most practice you can do about prophesying to people and moving and being moved by God in the Spirit is doing it in prayer, learning how to pray correctly, learning how to pray right, learning how to pray in the Spirit, learning how to flow in prayer. That's your best training, friend. It's not going to prophet school. It's not going to Bible school. I've been to Bible school, but, you know, hey, that really did me. Bible school ended up being a thing for me once they found out I prophesied. All they wanted me to do is prophesy before and after class. I mean, that's what happened to me. So I kind of have a bittersweet thing about all that. But anyway, I'm glad I went, but with the price of the nation here in Dallas. But it was all about what speak, and then people wanted me to speak over them, speak over them. Now, what's going on, God? The very last thing that I thought I'd ever do. Friend, it doesn't matter what insecurities you have about whatever it is you got going on. Please, ask God to help you get out of the boat of your insecurities. Whatever's going on, maybe you're just shy. Maybe you don't think you can do that because you've never had that gift. Welcome to the boat that I was in. And God says, Randy, if you'll trust me and you'll step out and you'll start doing what I tell you to do, I'll use you in ways you never dreamed. And friend, that's been my whole life in the last, 40-something years, 30-something, 40-something, I don't know. Well, it's been a long time. And so, you know, it's just amazing that that's the way God has done it for me. So, all right, we're going to get Gary and Mary on. We're going to let them talk about tonight. He's going to share about some cool things that have gone on. He had a lump in his throat, and you know, he used to come on the show and talk with us. Remember that? And share things, really cool. And then he said, "Well, I thought his lump was getting better, and then it wasn't getting better." And so they go to the doctor and have it removed. And it was a big thing. It was a really, really big thing. You're dealing with your voice. And so we're going to let him tell more of the story, but the timing on this thing was amazing. The timing of which Gary had his operation at the time of Passover and the dates and the whole thing, and then a year later, it's just really cool. I'm going to let him tell you himself. But and he's going to have his voice on it. They put a voice within him. Listen to this. This is what I thought about today, Gary. I'm going to get you guys on. They put a voice. They put an ability for him to speak inside of him. Friend, that's exactly, I think that having Gary on tonight, Gary and Mary, I was going to talk about DNA and cellular memory tonight again and expound on that a little bit. But the Lord, when I found out Gary's going to be able to be with us tonight, and then I started thinking about it, I even told him we're going to use your testimony for DNA and cellular. I already told him that. And now I've changed my mind, right, because I started realizing when I started thinking about his testimony. Anyway, so that's when we talked about that, what we talked about tonight. So this is, if you're listening tonight, get ready, because I believe God's going to open up in the most simple way. Jesus used natural things to teach us spiritual truths. All right. Gary and Mary said, amen. Praise God. All right. So you guys ready to come on? All right. Let's get them on here. Let me something real quick. And I don't know how the audio is going to do on all this, but you know what? I'm just going to believe God is going to be good, and we're going to do this thing. And God's going to use this as a way to minister to people tonight, and open up some hearts. Yeah. So hang on a second. Okay, and I just put on my earpiece, so if the audio doesn't sound right, somebody please let me know right away. All right, let's get Gary and Mary on right now and find out what's going on with them. All right, Gary, Mary, you guys on?
Blessings, Randy, and everyone that's listening. How are you tonight?
Hey, you sound pretty cool, man. That's pretty cool. You told me you sounded kind of electronic, and you do.
Well, I've got what I'm talking to you on now. I've actually got two modes of talking to you. This is called an electrolarynx, which is a device you hold up to your throat, and it picks up the vibration of the words you mouth and converts them into speech. And the other device that they install in my throat between the airway and the esophagus where you swallow food, they actually connected those two. And what I do then is I take air from my lungs and I can then force that through what they call a voice prosthesis. And that actually goes into the esophagus, and then there's a reversible of that air out through the mouth, and it sounds like this.
Blessings, everyone. Glad to be here tonight, and be able to share a few things. So, yeah, I'm trying to perfect this just a little bit. Electrolarynx might be a little bit easier for you to understand.
Okay, the one you're doing right now was different from the one you started out with. Now, what are you doing right now?
The one that I'm talking to you on now actually is taking air from my lungs through the voice prosthesis that comes up the airway through a little piece of plastic into the esophagus and then out my mouth.
And so what happened? You had a lump in your throat that just didn't go away. It was hard for you to breathe. You was getting where you couldn't hardly breathe. You couldn't eat, and you couldn't taste food and a lot of things. And so they removed that. And when they removed that, they had to remove your voice box. Is that correct?
Yes. back in 2018 in August, I began to experience some hoarseness, you know, like you might get if you had, initially I thought it might have been bronchitis, and, and then as we get into 2019, I thought I was beginning to get a handle on it, and about mid-July, or late June, I think, you know, when you and I were speaking, you remember Kenny and Ruth, and Kenny sent me a YouTube link to Pastor Dwayne Miller, who had actually lost his voice and was giving a series of false prognoses, and he thought that he was going to lose his voice forever. And 3 years later, when he was barely speaking as a substitute to a Sunday school class of 150 people, he was reading Psalm 103, and the Lord, right in the middle of Psalm 103, restored his voice perfectly. And
wow.
Mary
amazing.
Did write to the miracle that came out of what he went through, and at the time he couldn't see it, was that he had a media ministry and an expansion in his writing skills that vastly expanded his ministry, and he touched and continues to touch many, many believers. And at the time, though, he had faith, but he was obviously wondering where it was going to go. And so, anyways, we initially thought it was just a growth, something that could be controlled. But as we got toward the end of 2019, in December, I got another CT scan, and had that read by a friend of mine, and it had grown the size of a golf ball, roughly, in my throat. And so in January, I was referred, God referred me to probably the top surgeon, if not in Florida and most of the country, at the University of Miami. And the initial biopsy in February was benign, and we were very glad about that. But subsequent to that, I began to have problems, continued problems breathing. So finally, on March 4th, the last two nights before I went in for a temporary tracheotomy, which allows, they put a hole in your throat, it's temporary, and man, you can breathe through that, because many people don't know you actually breathe through your vocal cords. So they dabbed into the air source. They dabbed into the air source below the vocal cords. But the last two nights, I didn't dare go to sleep, because if I went to sleep, the mucus would harden, because 98% of my airflow at that point had been cut off. So anyway, they did a temporary tracheotomy, and I was in the hospital for, I don't know, 4 or 5 days. And this time the biopsy came back, and they said the growth was something to be concerned about. And they had several options, but the one with the greatest success was to remove the vocal cords. And then they rebuild your throat. They take a skin graft out of your left forearm, and then they use it in your throat. Because they do some reconstruction, there's a hole in your throat. That's what you actually breathe through. You don't breathe through your mouth or your nose anymore. And
interesting.
Go ahead, Randy. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, now, so I want to go back to that when you were talking about your the man that had that was, what scripture did you say that he was talking about in a class when he was like you, kind of talking like you? He was talking like you, right? And he read a scripture. What scripture was that? Psalms what?
Psalm 103. The entire Psalm
103.
Yeah, verses 1-5.
Okay, and let me hang on a second. Let's go. The 103. Hang on a second. Psalms 103, verses 1-5.
Yeah, actually the entire psalm, but principally verses 1-5.
Okay, let me read. Psalms 103. This is David talking here. Psalms 103, verses 1-5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Do you want to read this?
You're right, pulling it up now.
I'm gonna let you read it.
Okay.
I would like for you to read that if you don't mind.
Yes, I'll read it verbatim. Well, I'll read it from memory. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits or blessings in some translations. You, Lord, who have forgiven all my iniquities. You, Lord, who have healed all my infirmities. You, Lord, who have redeemed me from the pit, from the grave,
yes,
from death.
Hallelujah.
You, O Lord,
yes,
who have crowned me with loving kindness and tender mercies, and has satisfied my mouth with good things, so that my youth is restored like the eagles.
Wow.
And,
man,
hey,
are you going to stop at 5? That's pretty good. That, as you were reading that, Gary, there was such an anointing on that. When you even mentioned it before, somebody, Mike from Colorado, he texted me right away. He said, man, as soon as Gary started talking about that thing that the guy shared, Psalms 103, the anointing just hit, man. I mean, and then when you read it just now, it's just hitting again. I don't know what this is exactly, but my brother, this is something amazing is happening through this right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just pray. Gary and I just agreed right now, God, that you forgive our sins. I love that because we've been talking about that. I'm going to read in a different version here. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, even my vocal cords. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his kind deeds. He who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit. Hallelujah. Redeems your life from the pit, friend. Whatever pit you're in tonight, God's redeemed you from that pit in Jesus' name. I don't care if you got what disease you have, what sickness you have. Tonight there's an anointing to forgive your sins and your iniquities in Jesus' name and heal all your diseases. When Jesus was on the cross, well, before the cross, the cat of nine tails. Now, Gary can say whatever he wants to about that, but the 39 stripes, representing all the diseases that he bore, every disease, it doesn't matter what kind it is, what the root of it is, he bore every one of them, friend. And that's why at the same time he was shedding his blood, which brings forgiveness of sins, he's redeemed our life from the pit, from what Jesus Christ has done on the cross of Calvary in Passover, in the name of Jesus, so that the pit, you will pass over the pit, and the pit will pass over you tonight. In the name of Jesus. And he's going to crown you with loving devotion and compassion and satisfy you with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah, my brother. That's amazing.
Amen.
Wow.
And I recite that every night. And, you know, when I went into immediately before going into surgery, I couldn't take a deep breath. I couldn't swallow completely. And after surgery, of course, things that people take for granted, taking a deep breath, a complete breath, being able to swallow completely, being able to taste food because I was on a liquid diet for over 2 weeks, where I actually had to bump a syringe full of liquid food into a tube that went directly through my nostrils into my stomach. So I didn't have the joy of even being able to taste food or have regular food. And what's interesting was on April 8th, which was the evening of Passover in the year, last year, 2020, that's when I had that beating tube taken out on the eve of Passover, when the bondage of what I'd been enduring, the shackles were taken off, just like the Hebrew people had left the bondage of Egypt, so physically, but it also confirmed spiritually that after my 13-hour surgery, and while on the table, when they were finishing up, apparently they had one little glitch where his stitch came loose, and the Lord had pointed that out, so they got that solved on the table. But even the number 13 is significant. Judaism, 2 times 13, as I mentioned, is 26. And 26 is the number of God. And, of course, my surgery was on March 27th, and a year later was Passover again, the one-year mark, where everything, of course, I've been cured of all my infirmities, just as Psalm 103 proclaims that the Lord had healed me from all my diseases. Although I was diagnosed as a stage 3, the margins were clear and all the nodes were clear. I think they took out 85 lymph nodes. They were all clear. And they recommended a follow-up radiation protocol just to make sure the margins were clear. And so we completed that in mid-June. But, you know, I believe that God can replace my vocal cords at any time with new ones.
Yeah.
And because I know in my heart that he knows that, I'm at total peace and confidence in his will and his purpose, because, you know, there have been several times in my life when I've seen an immediate miracle from God. For example, when he healed my eyesight, literally from wearing Coke bottle glasses to a vision of 2010, that was an immediate miracle. I've been out in the middle of a lake without a boat. Mary and I were out stranded in the middle of a lake without a boat, and the Lord sent out 2 people to pick us up.
I just wanted
to let it, anybody that that may think that things are hopeless or why do I have this condition, the peace that if you believe that God knows about it, which he does, he knows more than I do what my condition is, then I have the total peace and faith and trusting in how he's going to use me in his will and purpose. And I know it's difficult when people go through things they may ask, you know, why am I going through this now? Why is God not completely healing this now? And I would just say, look at the things that God has already done in your life, and that is a testament to what he will continue to do. And that's why when we read in Psalm 103 and that God crowns us with loving kindness, not just kindness, but loving kindness, and not just mercy, but tender mercy, and that he does that as by our mouth with good things, is that our youth is renewed, and that's why I say this verse every day, among others. And so I'm a work in progress, and we will not leave us.
Yeah. Yeah, Tanisha says, yeah, she's inspired tonight by Gary's testimony. I'm telling you, dude, brother, the anointing on that was amazing. When you read Psalms, that was absolutely amazing. And, Lord, we just thank you for that anointing tonight. We thank you for an increase of healing virtue. We thank you for the man that had the same thing that Gary, basically the same thing Gary had done with him, and was up sharing his testimony with his voice being like Gary's right now. And right in the middle of him reading that scripture, his voice returned to him supernaturally. God, we thank you for that miracle. We thank you for the miracles that you've promised Gary and the ones that he's already had. And we give you glory, God, for every miracle you've given us, whether it be small or large. We give you the glory, God. Friend, I'm telling you, just like Gary said, if we can begin to thank him and give him glory for the miracles that we've seen, just like that's how David encouraged himself. He started thinking about the way when he slew the lion and the bear, and he started thinking about, you know, Goliath and all the things that God used him through, that him and God were in together, that he watched God do it through him, that God could do it again. And so sometimes, you know, as we focus on that and give God the glory and give God the praise for the miracles that have already happened, that's what sometimes breaking the bread is, for a multiplication of more of the same thing, is taking that bread of thankfulness of the miracle God has done, however little or how big it is, break it open and say, God, I give you the glory for the way you brought me $5 when I needed $5. I mean, $5 may not mean much to anybody, but friend, when you need $5, it's big. And so I thank you, Jesus, that tonight we are going to break the bread. We're going to break open the bread of thankfulness and of the miracles that you've given us already, God, and we're going to give you the glory and give you the praise so that you can begin to increase and multiply that miracle-working power, that whatever little miracle you got or big miracle you got, and you need a miracle tonight, that just giving him thanks and praise will increase and multiply the bread of miracles in your life tonight, friend. Just go ahead and eat it. Just go ahead and give him thanks. Thank you, Jesus. We give you glory, God, for Gary being in the middle of that lake and without a boat, and then someone came along. I mean, he could have drowned. That would have been the end of his life. And the thing with his eyes, God, how you healed his eyes in the name of Jesus. We give you glory for that, God. And God, I thank you for the miracles you've given to me. We just give you glory. We give you praise. I give you glory that, God, you used me in my weakest thing I ever did in the natural realm was talk to people and speak. It was a thing I knew I would never do. I knew I would never do that because I already tried it, and it was a complete failure over and again. And that's the very thing that you do for me now, God. Be quiet, because it's a miracle, friend. When God created heaven and earth, sometimes we walk around and we see the dirt and the concrete and the trees and all this stuff, the grass. We forget that all that was a creative miracle. It didn't used to be at all. And then all of a sudden God said, let it be, and it was. You're looking at a miracle every day. Start giving God the glory, giving God the praise for every little thing you see out there, the trees, the grass, the ground, the sheetrock in your room. That sheetrock could not be made. The concrete in your driveway or wherever, that couldn't even be made. Man may have put some things together, but it all came from God, and it came from the creative realm of Almighty God. When God said, there's nothing there, he said, okay, let it be done. Let there be a tree, and there was a tree. Let there be fish in the sea, and there was fish in the sea. Let there be the sea, and then there was a sea. All that, everything we see, friend, came from a creative miracle creation of God Almighty. And Lord, we don't take that for granted. You're giving us a brand new gratitude, an attitude of gratitude and thankfulness for everything we see, and we look around and we say, thank you, God. That paint you gave me to paint my room with, I mean, that somehow came from a creative miracle of God, which one minute it wasn't, and the next minute it was. And now people use that material God made totally from the supernatural realm, and now they made it work as paint, and we give you the glory for that, God. Everything that's been made, there's not anything that's made that was not made through Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for that, for Gary tonight, God. We give you the glory. Gary, anything else you want to say about that? That's amazing. And we're going to believe God with you for, you know, we're talking about the DNA and the cellular memory. And so, you know, I think what God does, one of the things that God does when he creates, you know, a voice box for you is that, you know, your cells remember that voice box. Your cells miss it. They're going, where did our voice box go? We want it back, you know. Even your body cries out for wanting it back because it misses part of your body. When part of your body's missing, you know, the rest of your body goes, well, I remember that voice box. Where did that voice box go? We want it back. We want it back. We want to be made whole. That's our body crying out because that's the way God. So your cells even know and miss it and are crying out for it. And so we thank you, Jesus, for every cell, every gene, all the DNA, all the whole molecular structure in our bodies, the cells. We give you glory, God, that you can just speak 1 second to those cells, and those cells will recreate by the Spirit of God a brand new voice box in the name of Jesus. Or whatever you need tonight, friend, whatever you need tonight. Hallelujah. God can do it in an instant. He can make your body whole. And anything that's in your body that doesn't belong, it has to disappear in Jesus' name because it wasn't made to be there by God. Therefore, it has to go through the power of Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Gary, anything you want to say? Yeah, go ahead.
Just that I think your mind or the Lord's mind on learning to speak, not only physically but spiritually, and learning to learn is right on. And when you don't have a voice, you start out by writing notes, and then you look for tools, in my case, like a pocket voice translator, and then, of course, the electrolarynx, and then the voice prosthesis. But in Romans 8, 28, 29, and 30, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purposes, and we stand on that scripture. So thank you for allowing me to share this tonight with everybody. And I sent you the email link for that short video on Dwayne Miller. Well, you can actually hear on tape because they were re-recording the Bible lesson that he was doing that particular Sunday when the Lord healed his voice. So I emailed that to you, and you could send it out to anybody that wanted it.
Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, my brother.
All right.
Thank you, my brother.
Thank you,
sisters.
Gary. Yes, and we want to give people opportunity. Well, you be blessed too, my brother. Thank you very much. And we want to give people a chance to increase and multiply. You know, like sometimes when you're struggling with something, you need to, like, sometimes come on and share your testimonies of what God has done in other ways. You know, like the being in the middle of the lake and, you know, God bringing somebody to him in the middle of a lake. I mean, you know, it's amazing. And his eyes and what God did just spontaneously and instantly. When you start thinking about that and you start talking about that and speaking about that, and start, especially when you're sharing with others, it causes that miracle working bread, the body of Jesus, to begin to create in your body. To its original structure, the way God wants it to be, the way he made it, to be made whole. He wants to make your body, even your body cries out for those missing parts. Even when something invades your body's going, oh, we got somebody here that doesn't belong here. There's something here trying to hurt us. There's something here trying to kill us. There's something here. Even your cells, which are alive and know what belongs in your body and what does not belong in your body, because they know they came from God. And they know what does not belong there. And so that's why we speak to our bodies, and we speak straight, just like we speak the word of God and the angels, and it strengthens the angels. At least that's what we've been taught. When you do that, you also, when you speak to yourselves, you know, that's in that sense, positive confession is good. Speaking the word of God over yourself, speaking the word of God to the angels, and strengthening the angels to do warfare. Sometimes we need to speak to ourselves so that ourselves will have the word of God and the anointing to help resist this foreign element in your body, because they know that that does not belong there. Amen?
Yeah.
All right, this is really cool, really, really, really cool. Thank you, Gary, Mary, for that. We're going to be getting that. We'll be sending that video out to you guys. You can, one thing, you can come into agreement with Gary and Mary for however God wants to do it with Gary, that you can hear that testimony, and I'll be sending it to you by text, and you can listen to it when you get a chance and kind of come into agreement with Gary on something like, you know, God, what God did for this man. He does. That's what speaking testimony does. It gives you something to believe with and to come into agreement with, so we can believe with Gary and Mary as a family for his voice to come back whole and be used by God to speak, you know, to the Lord's people, and build up people and speak healing to people and miracles to people and life to people. So, Gary, Mary, thank you so much. All right. Thank you. We're going to take callers tonight and pray for you guys. So let's take our next caller tonight. Let's go here to some people we've already lost tonight. As we went along, they just kind of, okay, they came back. Okay. Awesome. Okay, let's go here to 843-267. 843-267, who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Hello?
Yes. Hello? Who am I talking to? This is Randy.
Hi. It's Bianca.
Well, hi, Bianca.
Hi.
Thinking about
you.
I was thinking about you. You know what I was thinking about you today? I got in my truck. Are you there?
I'm here.
Can you hear me okay? Okay. Yeah, I was thinking about you today because here's why. This is so amazing. I did not know that was you. I get in my truck to go get my mail today, right? And
right.
I'm in my truck by myself, and the other seat, I moved some shirt that I had there, and there was the card you sent me. The last time you sent me, I think you sent me a card. I think it was like Easter card or something, or I don't remember what it was exactly. But I started thinking about Bianca. I'm going, I wonder how Bianca's doing today. So it's really cool that you're calling here. So you're answering my draw. I was drawing on you, like, how are you? What are you doing? You know, like I wanted to, like I was just thinking about you because I saw your card. And so anyway, that's pretty interesting that you're calling in tonight.
Yeah, I was actually thinking. At first I wasn't, and then I said, well, I guess I would. I just had a feeling just to do it.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing because literally just, you know, a couple of hours ago, maybe what time is it? It's almost 10 o'clock. You know, about 2.5 hours ago, I was literally picked up the card. I'm going, there's Bianca's card, you know. I had it in that seat sitting there under her shirt, and it just made me think about you and pray about you. So let's pray for you right now. I'm going to mute you just for a second, and then we're going to pray for you, and then we can talk a little bit. Thank you, Lord, for Bianca. Lord, I thank you for her anointing for voice. That the voice that you've given her, God has created you a voice, Bianca, that, you know, that is to be, is to communicate. There's a communication in your voice. Somehow your voice resonates and has vibrations. I don't know how to explain it, but when I hear somebody's voice and I just know things in my spirit, and your voice has that thing of communication. There's something in you that wants to articulate and communicate, and God's made you like that, where you want to give understanding to things, where people can understand it. You want people to know, you know, some things that they have a hard time learning or can't understand. There's something in you that wants to communicate to them in a way that they can get it, the way that they can receive it, the way that they can hear it, the way that they can go, oh, yeah, I got that. Because so many times in communications, we overlook people. We pass over people. We go right past them, and we don't really communicate with them correctly. Therefore, we lose them. And the Bible says if they don't get it, if we don't communicate correctly, people don't get it, then we lose them. And many people get lost. They fall through the cracks of lack of communication. So there's something in you, Bianca, that has the ability to connect with people, to communicate with people. That there's a concern and a love in your voice that God wants to just, you know, it's not even about speaking the Bible or the Word of God. It's just a matter of communicating and a communication. And so I think that's really going to give you a boldness and a confidence that your voice has been called by God to be used for God in a way maybe that you haven't realized yet, but you're soon going to grasp it. I remember we had one of our friends on PGN. Her name was Felicia from Texas. And Felicia has been a friend of ours for a long time. She's been calling, maybe you know who she is. She's prayed for her many times in the show. And she's just kind of a regular Christian, loves God, loves Jesus, loves to, be used by God and to know what's God doing and all that kind of thing. Really has a hunger for the Lord Jesus. And wanted to be used by him, but didn't really know exactly what to do with it. And one night I prophesied to her. I said, I see you prophesying to people. And I spoke, when you speak the word of the Lord, you speak it and at some time, at some place, in some season, those things get unlocked. And so one day, after months and months and months and months and months and maybe years of prophesying over her, she realized that she could prophesy over people. And she started doing it. It's amazing. It's amazing. And so now that's just like a thing in the past. But before she's going like, I don't know how that works. I don't know how you do that. And so I see something like that happening with you, Bianca, and your voice being a voice of comfort and a voice of healing and a voice of connection, connecting people, not just to, people, but connecting people to God. Yeah. And so your voice has that in it. So I'm sure, I don't know if you're aware of that or not. But anyway, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine, and thank you for asking, and I thank you, Jesus, for that wonderful world, and I thank you, Randy, for that. I appreciate that. That was a much-needed word. I've had a lot of different questions to God lately, and I appreciate hearing that.
Yeah, and I remember Felicia telling me, she says, it's like she couldn't hardly believe that she could do that. That's where she was at on that. She just couldn't hardly believe that she could do that, but people think ministering or talking to people by the Holy Spirit is some, they don't understand it, how simple that it is to do. It's just like praying. Like I talk about this tonight when we're getting Gary on tonight, knowing that Gary's going to come on and talk about how he's having to learn to use this voice box for now until God restores him. And it's like, learning how to speak all over. So when I started learning how to prophesy, I didn't know I was learning how to prophesy, but all it was, I was learning how to pray. Praying out loud, dear God, bless mama, bless daddy, bless the church, raise up people to preach the gospel, raise up people to, and I just started learning how to pray, praying it out. And I didn't even realize it, but that was training me how to let my voice be used by God. So, and then, like I said, Felicia, one day just after years of telling her all kinds of things, one day it just clicked, and she went, click. And, she completely changed. Everybody was like going, what in the world happened to Felicia? All of a sudden, she's like prophesying to people. I said, yeah, I know. It just got unlocked inside of her. I can't take any credit. I didn't do anything. I just ministered to her like we always do. But one day it just clicked, and she realized that she had a purpose in speaking to people. Now, with her, it was her way. I don't know exactly how it's going to happen with you exactly, but anyway, it's going to be cool. So there you go. We'll remember this word one of these nights and go, yeah, we're going to look back at that and go, Randy, you were right about that. I hear Bianca saying.
Yeah, you said some other things. Yeah, right. You said some other things, too, in the past, too. Especially you said something, I think, a couple of years ago about some writing, King David, like writing the Psalms and stuff. And I didn't understand really back then. I thought it meant something else, and now I'm thinking it means something else now. So,
yeah.
I thought it meant something else, and now I'm realizing, no, it didn't mean that. It actually meant something more than that. So,
Yeah.
It's been a journey.
Well, that happens all the time. Yeah, it's a journey. It is a journey. I mean, just look at Joseph. Joseph you know, when he had his dream from God, he had two dreams, big dreams from God. And he thought they meant he's going to grow crops in Canaan with his father, and he'll be the best crop grower of them all, and all his brothers will come and say, man, you're really prosperous, Joseph. You really do have an anointing for growing crops. Because that's what he thought the dream was, you know. And come to find out, it wasn't, it had to do with crops, but it had to do with anything to do with him growing crops. It had to do with him, you know, collecting grain in Egypt while he's ruling Egypt with Pharaoh and feeding the whole world, you know. So you see what I mean? It was a completely different understanding, but God got a hold of him with that. He got into thinking, okay, you got a purpose for me. And that's kind of what you're talking about. You got a purpose for me, God. What is it? Okay, you got a purpose. Well, that's not working out. I'm not home. I'm not at home. I'm in prison in Egypt, and you know, you got something for me. I know you do. So it got him to seeking God because he realized that maybe he misunderstood it. And sure enough, when he started ruling with Pharaoh in Egypt, he knew he misunderstood it, and it had something much greater than what he thought. Just like you just said, exactly.
Yeah. It's also also a couple of years ago, you mentioned teacher, and you know, in teaching, and two or three years ago, I didn't understand. You know, I thought it meant that, and now I'm thinking it means something else too. Now, you know, it's just like I said, it's a journey. I'm like, okay, I don't think it was meaning that 2 years ago. Now I'm thinking it's kind of meaning this. You know, it's like it just becomes a little more clear as time goes on.
Wow. And that's kind of how it works. That really is how it works. Exactly. You're saying it. Now listen to you right now. Listen to what you're saying. You are communicating perfectly on how the prophetic works. That's what you're just doing right now. You're saying something that most people do not understand. They don't have it yet. They're still trying to make that thing happen that they thought it meant the first time, and they don't realize yet that, well, maybe that's not happening because maybe it's something different. Even though we talk about it all the time, how Joseph's thing was different, how other people's prophecies end up being completely different than they thought. But it still came to pass, and it was still more awesome than they believed it was. And that's something just like you just got through doing. I mean, you are literally communicating, just like the Lord said to you before we started talking. You have a communication thing with you. So God's going to train you. He's going to show you. And however he does it, you know, month by month and week by week, month by month, I don't know exactly how he's going to develop it, but I can hear it in your voice tonight as you're talking about what you've been through with the prophetic realm.
Yeah. Because he told me, he said, don't worry about that person over there. Don't worry about that person over there. I don't want you to be like them or that person over there. You just be yourself. That's what he keeps telling me. Just be yourself. Like, okay.
You know, I mean, I know this is going to sound funny, and I'm talking about Felicia tonight, and I could have talked about a lot of people, but Felicia just kept coming to my mind. And what I'm hearing you talk right now, I'm hearing Felicia talk, and I'm going, God, why am I hearing Felicia in her voice tonight so strong? Oh, there's Felicia's on right now. Oh, there she is. I didn't know she was listening. She says, thank you for mentoring me. Felicia, using me as an example, I was feeling so lonely, and by you mentioning me brought me to tears. Thank you so much. I'm hearing myself. Listen to this, Bianca. This is amazing. This just happened. She just texted me just now, 10:07 p.m. Thank you for mentoring me, Randy, blah, blah. So I'm hearing myself as well in her. Listen to that. And you know what I'm hearing?
That's cool.
I'm hearing that voice. I'm hearing Felicia's testimony, something like it, coming through you. You're going to give me, one day you'll be calling, you go, oh, my God, Randy, guess what? Man, I'm doing stuff in the supernatural. I never thought I'm talking, I'm speaking, I'm saying things to people. Oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus, just like she did.
Yeah, that's, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's, wow.
Yeah.
You know, I've decided, I'm sorry, wait.
No, go ahead. I want you to talk.
I've decided, instead of just trying to figure everything out, I just take it day by day with the Holy Spirit, spontaneous, day by day. He just, you know, leads me. And it feels so much better, you know, instead of just trying to just figure everything out. It does.
Yes.
Day by day.
Yes.
A daily walk with him.
You know, I could almost swear before God that I've heard Felicia say that exact same thing. I can't remember for sure exactly. But, I mean, this is amazing. I'm so blown away by this. And I think the reason God's saying it is because he's saying to me that just like Felicia went into total shock that she could be prophesying to people. Randy, I thought you were the prophet. She's all of a sudden not prophesying to people. I'm speaking to people. Oh, my gosh, what's going on? I mean, and, yeah, so, wow. Taking it day by day, it takes the pressure off, huh? That's kind of what you're saying tonight.
Yeah. Yes, yes, it does, because, you know, at first, like, well, what, you know, if I'm called to do this, then what about a month from now? What about 5 months? And I just stopped it, and I just said, we're just taking this day by day. What if we belong here, do I belong there? No, you know, God has always been faithful in the past. So I figured that, you know, me and my husband, if we belong somewhere else over there, we're going to get there because God has always been faithful. He's never failed me. So I take it day by day now.
Girl, that is so beautiful. I mean, that is so simple, and yet it's so deep. And the reason it's deep is because a lot of people don't do that. And sometimes I catch myself not doing that. I've learned, like you, that you can't figure it out. All you can do is yield to God and say, I'm yours. What do you want to do? I love you. That's about it. And then let him, you know, give you. Yeah.
I start waking up, Randy, every day. I just, you know, in the morning or that evening or at morning, it's like, okay, what are we going to do today? What are we going to do today? You eat.
That's awesome.
It's easier. A lot easier.
Yeah, when he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, we don't realize how easy it should be, right? Until we hear you talking, you know, about that. And, that's just, I mean, there's an anointing on this, what you're saying tonight. I'd have to tell you when I prophesy to people, I tell them what I feel. I tell them what I'm feeling in my spirit, not my flesh, my spirit, man, what I'm feeling in my spirit, what I'm feeling, what I'm thinking. And when I'm talking to you right now, when I'm hearing you, Bianca, I'm hearing a whole nother person. I'm hearing a new person. That's what I'm hearing. I mean, it's like, where did Bianca go? I love Bianca. Bianca's a nice person, a good person, loves God, you know, all that. And we've talked before, but tonight, it's like the whole time you're talking, I'm going, who is this? I mean, I know it's you, but there's something new in you. I don't know what went on at Easter. I mean, Passover, resurrection, some people call it Easter. I call it Passover, resurrection time. I don't know what happened to you. I don't know what's been happening. Maybe it's been going on for a while. It sounds like it has. But there's a new you rising up, girl. There's a new you rising up, and I can hear it clear as a bell.
It started, I think, Randy, a few weeks ago, or at least been doing this for, like, I think about a month, and I just said, just forget it. Day by day, you lead in the spontaneous. I don't really do routines anymore. There's certain things I do this routine, and then I just, like, that's it. You just lead. And whatever happens. I look for the unexpected, and that's it. And it's a lot easier.
Wow. I think maybe that's what I'm hearing. I'm trying to understand what I'm hearing because when I hear things, I always know. I'm hearing a new you, and I'm hearing the easy thing, as you're saying, it's easier. That's beautiful. That right there is definitely Jesus, because everything that's out from underneath the curse, everything that's from the blessing, is easy. So what you're saying there is that people don't realize that when they're worrying and anxiety and stress, which sometimes we all do a little bit, but when they live in that, it's different. When you live in stress, when you live in anxiety, when you live trying to figure it all out, which everybody does until Jesus comes along and helps them. And what I hear you saying is that you're coming into the blessing, and the blessing is my yoke is easy, y'all. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And that's what you're saying. you're actually quoting that scripture without saying it.
Yeah, yeah, because basically, like, you know, I've been helping, like, my father out with my stepmom. You know, I've been helping him out every day.
Right.
You know, she has Alzheimer's, and I've been helping him. I just said, and every day I just talked to him and said, it's the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Everything has to bow to that name. So no negativity. It's the name of Jesus. That's all I've been talking about for the past 2 months. That's been my focus, the name of Jesus, because everything has to bow to that name.
Yeah, yeah. He's using your dad. He's, listen to this. He's using your dad's situation to get you to start speaking, you know, more and more and more. I'm sure you always have a little bit. Maybe I don't really don't know, but there's something new in you. You're doing that very thing that I was talking about tonight before we had Gary on. That when I started, I didn't even realize it at the time when I was learning how to prophesy. It's when I was just learning how to pray. I could pray in tongues. Praying in tongues isn't prophesying. Praying in tongues is awesome, but it's not prophesying necessarily. But praying in English, you have to speak something that somebody can understand, right? You can't say, what was that tongue? I don't know. I don't know. What did it say? I don't know. So they don't get anything out of it. When I started learning how to pray, which I felt very inadequate to do correctly, I heard all these mighty prayer warriors and all these amazing people have been praying for years, and I was just learning how, and I thought, I don't even know what I'm, I don't know how to do this thing. And so I had to train myself, like Gary's had to train himself with a voice, with his voice box there, and so I didn't even realize it, Bianca. But I was prophesying. I was starting to learn how to prophesy, to speak to people by the Spirit, by learning how to speak what God was, you know, giving me to pray over in English and pray out loud. It ended up being the very same thing when I prophesy over people. And like I said, I would start, people start asking me. I mean, God just drew it out of me. He brought, like, kind of like your dad, he brought situations with me to where people would see me. They knew I was a Christian because I witnessed to people all the time. And they would say, oh, I know you're a Christian. Can you pray for me and my family, my wife and my son? We're having some problems. And they would tell me what the problem was. I was, yeah, but I really don't feel good about praying with people. They say, well, but we need to, you're a Christian, right? I go, yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, can you pray for us? I'm going like, and they almost like, they didn't force me, but I said, okay, you know, and it was people that I knew fairly, you know, not real well, but I worked with them. I was at work. I used to work at the fire department. And at the fire department, I didn't really know them real well, but I would start praying over them, and I would pray things. I didn't even know what I was doing in English, struggling along, and they would say, and I'd look up at them, and I'd say, what's wrong? What's wrong? Nothing's wrong. How did you know that about my son? And on, I'm going like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Know what? And they said, that you said about that and that and that. I said, yeah. I said, how did you do that? I said, I don't know. I don't know how I did it. But God used people to pull it out of me, Bianca, like he's doing with your dad. It sounds like God's using your dad to kind of activate you at a higher level of speaking and, you know, trying to find how do we fix this situation? How do we deal with it? You see what I'm saying? He's using your dad, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he is. Yeah. Yeah, that situation has been really tough. And then, you know, no one else hasn't, you know, really want to be bothered. So it's you know, looks like God placed me in the middle, you know, middle of it. And he has been using that to train me and to, you know, get me to a, you know, higher place. So, yeah.
Yeah, to come out at a different level, to come out in the open more with your voice and with your authority and learning. And I'm sure you've always done it to a certain degree, but that's what he does us. He will bring situations, like with me, it was at work. When I worked at the fire department, we were on 24 and be off 48, and during the 24, we had a lot of time, you know. If you weren't fighting the fire, you just didn't do a whole lot. You know? And so people would ask me to pray for them. I'm going like, well, you know, why would they want me to pray for them? I'm not a preacher. You know, I didn't consider myself a preacher. And so that's how it happened. And pretty soon, I started praying for more people, and then more people, and more people. And now I have a show where all I do is pray for people and prophesy. I'm not really prophesying. I'm really praying. But when I pray, I prophesy. When I pray, I've learned how to, little by little, like Gary with his voice thing, I've learned how to yield my voice to praying as I felt like God wanted me to pray. And it just happened to be right, you know, for the most part. It just happened to be right. And so that's how it developed. So I think this thing with your dad, when this thing, as it works its way through, this is going to make you strong, Bianca. You may feel weak, but it's making you strong in the spirit. So get ready. I think that's your training ground. I don't think it's Bible school. I don't think it's that kind of thing. I think it's your dad and that whole situation. I'm sorry to hear that he's going through that. Also, that's a difficult thing to deal with. But I can see how God's using that to train you. What an amazing thing.
It is, and ready, and I'll just say this, you know, it's like, you know, I was talking to my dad, and, you know, I even think this to myself, you know, I was telling him, you know, and just thinking to myself that, you know, Randy, I've had disappointments, you know, when you wanted something to happen, you know, at a certain time and things like that.
Sure.
But when it doesn't happen, I just go back into that mode of thinking, but God is faithful. Not once, Randy, has he ever failed me. Not once. Everything that I have prayed about, he has always fulfilled. It might not happen exactly when I wanted to, but he's always fulfilled because he's just that faithful. That's what
Wow.
I do know.
That's anointed too. The anointing is on you as you say that. So the reason I say all this and make a big deal out of this is because God has me make big deals out of his people doing things for him. He's ready. If you will make a big deal out of what my people do and bring it to their attention and show them what they're doing and encourage them, you know, I'm going, okay, I'll let you do that, Jesus. You know? And so that's why I'm, quote, making a big deal out of this. It's because that's my job. That's what I do. I put a magnifying glass on. Look at that. Look what you just did. That was God. Look at that. I don't think you realize how big that – look how big that was. And I put a magnifying – God says, put a magnifying glass. Magnify the Lord, Randy. Magnify. Mary, magnify the Lord. And that's what the Lord told me. He said, I'm going to use you to magnify what the little things my people do. I want you to magnify it and show them how big that was to me. Like when the woman gave the two mites. That was a little bitty thing. I mean, she was poor. She didn't have nothing. She gave two mites. Her two mites couldn't buy nothing in the temple, couldn't buy nothing for anybody. And what did Jesus do? Oh, my God. He gets his magnifying glass out, and he starts saying, okay, y'all, look at what this woman just gave, 2 pence. And they're all going, yeah, we know, that's nothing. She always gives those 2 pence. It ain't nothing. But Jesus says, no, you know, you don't understand. This woman right here is giving more than all these multimillionaires over here. He said, this woman is the way you want to be. This is what you want to be like. And he would take a magnifying glass, so to speak, and he would magnify what she had done. And now it's written in the Bible, you know, of course. So so that's kind of my job, and that's why I'm, you know, people say, why don't you make it such a big deal out of that? Because you don't understand. Sometimes people don't even realize how much they're being used by God until you magnify it for them. And I go, yeah, I did this, did that. My dad's, I'm working with dad. Praying for them. Jesus, one of that. Did you hear what you just said? Did you hear what you just said? And did you feel what you just said? I did. I felt it. And I'm going to magnify that because I'm going to magnify the Lord in Bianca's life so that she can begin to magnify the Lord more and more and more and more. And pretty soon she's going to be so powerfully used by God, people will be going like, just like they did Felicia. What happened to Felicia? How all of a sudden she went from like calling in, yeah, can you pray for me and help, you know, I just want to love God and I want, you know, these. And all of a sudden she's like, oh man, I started prophesying to people. People are like going, yeah, she prophesied to me and it was amazing. And I'm going like, yeah, hallelujah. I mean, I was amazed too. I was like going, yeah, because, and so we magnify that and let people know, you know, that's how God does. He wants to increase and multiply every little thing, and we make a, just like Jesus, we make a big deal out of the things that are big to God. And that's what I'm doing tonight with you. I'm not just saying it, trying to be nice to you and thanking you for your card. You know, I mean, it had nothing to do. It's just all that led me to think about you today and pray for you today. Just say, God, how's she doing today? That's just kind of how God does it. You'll have some little something happen. You'll have some little thing happen, and you'll say, no, Randy, stop and get your magnifying glass out. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about her. I want you to think about this situation. I want you to think about, look at what I'm doing to her, and quit looking at it like, oh, yeah, some little thing. No, you get your magnifying glass out like Jesus did, Randy. And tonight, Bianca, I want you to agree with me on this, Bianca. I want to pray for everyone tonight that if you don't have a magnifying glass yet, I'm going to pray right now in the name of Jesus that your magnifier will begin to rise up in you, that God will show you how to grab the magnifying glass of God and look at the little things that are hidden that nobody else sees and start looking at it and going, God, look at that little bitty mustard seed. Eh, that's nothing. That little bitty thing, that can't do nothing. Oh, yeah, plant it in the ground and watch it become the biggest, baddest tree in town. Yeah. Lord, show your people how to get their magnifying glasses out for their children, for their husbands, for their wives, for their loved ones, for their pastors, for their leaders, whoever they or pastors are, their leaders, that they will get the magnifying glass out and start magnifying the Lord and building people up and taking the little things that they do that may not seem like much to them or anybody else and say, look what God is doing through you. Look at this. This is amazing. This is God. I feel God. Really? Yeah, that. And as a prophet, I'm telling you, I'm not trying to just be nice to you. I'm telling you, that's the Lord, and there's something going on there. And God's going to take this little mustard seed, and he's going to make something awesome out of it. You just watch.
Amen. And Randy, I just wanted to say this is really, really cool because you were talking about the whole thankfulness thing. And that's another thing I started doing. I just started thanking God for just everyone. I go out, just the little things like flowers. I just start just being more, just even more thankful. I just started noticing the little things, you know, just in his creation. I've been doing that for like the past couple of few months now. So that's just
really
you were talking about. Yes, I've been doing that. But I just gotten even more thankful, just noticing every little thing that, you know, and just the little flowers and stuff when I go out, just appreciating springtime and just appreciating things. And, yeah.
That's beautiful. You know, I was this happened to me a couple of days ago when I got this information, and I don't even know how I got it. I think I was listening to something. I don't remember how I even received it. But it wasn't like a supernatural visitation thing, you know, where God speaks to me and gives me revelation. It was, I heard somebody say something. And then when they said something, you know, about the trees and now, you know, I went, all of a sudden inside of me, I went, oh, my gosh. People are looking for miracles every day saying, where are the miracles at? Where are the miracles at? And I realized, Bianca, that flower you're looking at, that you're thankful for, those trees, even the concrete, even the things that men have taken and made houses out of it and roofs and shingles and all that material didn't used to be until God said, let there be, and there was.
Right.
What does everybody want now? Everybody wants miracles, man. We all want miracles. Friend, the Lord started showing me, he said, through that little example, and it's so amazing that you're coming on tonight. I just saw your card today. I mean, all that stuff is not big to me. Not little to me. That's big to me. And then you call in tonight, and then he starts collecting all this information. He said, Randy, see that little thing I did today when you found that card about Bianca and Jeff was calling in? Look what's going on tonight. I go, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. This is amazing. This is amazing. And how she's talking about the flowers and appreciating the thing. Those things, that little thing right there, which sounds carnal to hyper-Christians. Oh, the tree, the flower, you know, they came from God, so what? But for you to understand, being thankful for those things are miracles. Those things didn't used to be, and now they are. How? Because God said, let there be light, and there all of a sudden the sun was created, and the moon, and the stars, and the earth, and the trees, and the flowers, and the birds, and the bees, and everything was created. How? All of it, even our own human bodies, were created by the voice of God. And the Lord said, Randy, I want you to think about that and start telling my people. And look, I start telling them that, I think tonight and last night, maybe a little bit last night too, and then you come on and that's what you're doing. Well, that's no coincidence.
No, it's not. Because I've been looking at every, yeah.
This is going to open up the creative miracle room. I know this sounds, people going, oh, that, you know, how can that open up the creative miracle? We need a word from the Lord. Friend, this is the word from the Lord. I'm telling you, this is the word. Start letting God give you a gratitude, a thankfulness that the trees that you planted and you watched grow and whatever, it got fruit from it. That all didn't used to be. And then one day God said, let it be, and it was. That was you're looking at a creative miracle. When you go out there and you water that tree, and even the water you water it with, and even the body that you're doing it with, all that came from a creative miracle of God when God said to the Holy Spirit, let's create man in our likeness or image. And so he gets some dirt, and he starts shaping and forming, making intestines, making the hearts, making livers and kidneys, and just makes this body, and all of a sudden it pops up out of the ground going, here I am, Adam. It's my name. Who are you? You know, creative miracle. And we forget about it, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah, I was listening to your message last night. It was cool. I really enjoyed it because I tell you what, God has really opened up my eyes. When I go out every single day, I look at the trees. I just look at it, and it's just, I'm telling you, I do not see things the way I've seen it before. I mean, it's like, why didn't I notice this last year? I mean, the little things, like he has totally just opened my eyes up, and I've never seen things like the way I see it now. And I've always had like a vivid imagination, but wow, now just,
yeah,
and I'm just so
thankful.
I'm always thanking them, just thanking them for the trees, for the flowers, just for the sunlight. Just when the sun is shining here, I just thank them for it. Just it makes me, you know, I know this may sound silly, but it makes me think of his light. I know that it may sound silly or something, you know, but it does, you know, it does.
Yeah. Because it's so easy. It's so, you know, we make everything so complicated. I have made things complicated in my life. I said, God, help me to uncomplicate things. You know, help me to see. And so he gives me things like this simple thing to unlock miracles. He said, just be thankful for the trees. Be thankful for human beings. Be thankful for every body part you have in your body. Everything that I've created, Randy. Yeah, it's all a miracle. It's all a miracle. Just start being thankful. It's the devil who starts telling people, and we were just made out of a bunch of, you know, nothing, and you know, that God had nothing to do with it. What's he doing? Robbing the enemy, robbing the glory from God. And the more that we rob we let the enemy rob the glory from God, the more it robs the miracle realm from us.
Yeah, because my dad, and he does something for me. He's like, I tell him, thank you. Oh, baby, you don't have to tell me thank you. I'm your daddy. I'm like, you understand, this is the way God wants me to be. I understand that, but you don't have to keep telling me, yes, I am, because he wants me to tell you thank you.
Yeah, that's sweet, man. That's sweet Jesus stuff. That's sweet Jesus stuff. Lord, you are sweet Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, that you're making us sweet. You take our lemon day, you take our stuff, our difficult times, and you just pour in sweet Jesus. You remind us of sweet Jesus. Let us, whatever we do, we do this in remembrance of you. When we eat your body and drink your blood, we remember you, Jesus, how precious you are, how lovely you are, how in the image of the Father that you are. And they crucified you because they couldn't see you, because the devil blinded them. But it was your will, Father, that they do that. Hallelujah. You gave your son, dear Jesus. You gave dear Jesus to us. Hallelujah. And we thank you for that. My papa. Oh, Jesus. We give you the glory tonight for Bianca, God. We thank you for her life. God, we thank you for every little thing. We give you glory. We're not going to take anything for granted, Jesus. Help us to find glory in everything. Help us find glory in everything, God. Your glory. In Jesus' name. Wow, Bianca, well, that was awesome. All from a Christmas card. Mm-hmm. Not a Christmas card.
Yeah.
I think
it's Easter. It's an
Easter card.
Easter.
Thank you. Yes. For straightening me out on it. Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Beautiful. And then you called in tonight. I don't know how many times I've talked to him, how many times I've talked to him in the show, not a lot, but you know, off
not
and on.
Lot, yeah.
And Yeah, and so, yeah, that's amazing.
I just had this feeling.
Really
I just
amazing.
Had this feeling, you know, the call. I was thinking earlier today, there's something in my heart. So I call the show. You know, I do listen to your show, you know, but actually call and talk to you. You know, it's a feeling just call and talk to Randy tonight. Okay.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I think, yeah, because today, like I said, I saw your card. I'm going, that's Bianca's card. Lord, I thank you for Bianca's card. Thank you for that card. That's what I said. I said, thank you for that. Thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you for Bianca. Bless Bianca. And then you call in tonight. That just tells you how we communicate with our love for God and for each other in Christ Jesus. Now we value one another and love one another. And how it just, you know, the Bible says God will, what's it say? He will draw all men unto himself. When we lift him up, he draws all men unto him. And when he draws us unto him, we're drawn to each other because we're all connected to him. And so that connection, all that connection, all the cellular Holy Ghost prayer, like, you know, there's no distance in heaven. People communicate without even talking, opening their mouth. It's the same thing in the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as in heaven. And we can communicate and send messages of, you know, I'm not talking to you, right? I'm talking to God about you. I'm saying, God, you know, thank you for Bianca. How's she doing today, God? And just like that, nothing big. It wasn't like, oh, God, you know, that was it. I mean, I think that's all I said.
Yeah.
And it's like, and then you call in tonight. That just tells me, you know, it's just amazing. Anyway, I love it. Thank you, Bianca. Thank you for everything.
Thank you, Randy. I thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Randy. I enjoyed it, and now I'm getting ready to go to bed.
All right. Good night. Okay, thank you so much.
Okay,
good night.
Have a good night. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, you. Bye-bye. Thank God. All right. Let's go here to my next caller here. Let's go to 803-991. Can we talk to Ray from, please?
Hello, it's Angela, South Carolina.
Hey, Angela.
Hi, Randy.
My friend from the Carolinas, I always say. I don't know why I always say the Carolinas. I don't even know why I do that. But, oh, Susanna, won't you pray for me? Yeah, I'm going to say, oh, Angela, won't you pray for me? I don't know why I'm saying that. But I'm going to mute you here for a second. Let's pray for you. Thank you, Jesus, for Angela, God, in Jesus' name. We just thank you, God, for her life, God. We thank you for the you know, God's going to show you the hows, the whens, the wheres. You know, there's just times he's going to show you that. And he didn't do it about everything, but he's put a tremendous curiosity inside you about him. And he did that, Angela, because he wants you to know that he puts that curiosity in you because he wants you to seek him with it because he's going to show you. He's going to show you whatever you ask him, he will show you. And whatsoever things you ask, it's what I hear the Lord saying to you right now, personally. Like if Jesus was standing here right now, he's sitting there with you, wherever you're at, in your house or in your car, wherever you're at, and he would sit right next to you right now, and he would say, ask whatsoever you will, Angela. Ask whatsoever you will. What do you want? It's kind of like in this song. That's what he tells us. Ask whatsoever you will. Wow. Ask whatsoever you will. And that's what the Lord's saying. What do you want to ask? Don't let people tell you you can't ask for that and get it. Don't let people tell you, oh, that's a sovereign question. God would never tell anybody that. Don't you listen to them. You listen to Jesus sitting right there next to you saying, what do you want, Angela? Ask whatsoever you will. Hallelujah. And I'm going to show you. I've got to explain. The faith I feel right now for you saying, ask whatsoever you will. In other words, ask any question you want. I don't care what the question is. I don't care if you would just, we can't tell anybody I'm asking about this, Jesus, but what about this? You know, what about this? And I just see you getting so raw with the Lord. It's like if people knew you talking like that, Lord, you might think they're going like, oh, I can't believe you get that raw with Jesus. How can you do that? Because he makes everything. He knows everything. He knows about everything. We shouldn't be a concern that you know, oh, you can't talk to him like that. You know, can't talk to Jews like that. Oh, why not? You know, he's the Lord. He knows everything. He understands everything. He understands it all and has the answers because he is the answer. And the Lord says, come unto me as the answer because I am your answer. I am your answer. You can ask me details. You can ask me specifics. And then just get ready because I'm going to show you. I'm going to tell you one way or the other through somebody, through a sign of some sort, through something you see on TV, something you sign you see somewhere, some license tag or something or another, whatever it is, I'm going to show you. And I see the Lord really drawing your attention to just say, I can ask anything. I can ask anything. It doesn't matter what it's a question about how you made this and how you made that. And everybody's like, you can't ask God about that. To ask him about how things work and how things happen. And how did you do that? How did you do that, God? That's what I hear you saying. How did you do that, God? How did you do that? You know, how did you do that? Because, you know, that's what they ask you. Say, how do you pray? Because the disciples saying, how do you pray? Because they realized when he prayed, things happened. Like we talked about tonight, I learned how to pray. I learned how to pray. And the disciples saw that everything Jesus did worked 100%, 100-fold. Everything he touched was blessed and got healed and got delivered, got raised from the dead. He cursed the fig tree and it dried up and died. He did it all. And I hear you saying, dear Jesus, just like the disciples, they said, now, what's making that happen? And they figured out, oh, it's got to be his prayer. It's because he's praying. It's the way he prays. That's what it is. Okay, guys, let's go ask Jesus how to pray so we can get the answers and results like he gets. And that's what they did. They said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. They said, okay. It wasn't like, oh, you can't handle prayer. You know, you'll never get 100% things happening for you. No way. Forget it. And he says, oh, you want to know how to pray? Okay. And he started praying this simple prayer. And, you know, and within it are the elements of amazement. In it are the elements of life and power and authority and loving the Father and knowing who he is and how the kingdom of heaven comes in earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our debts. Forgive our debtors. All those things that hinder us, that stop our prayers from being answered, are in that prayer. So, Angela, anything you want, he wants to give it to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Wow, what a cool word. That's amazing. How are you doing, girl? What's up?
I'm doing good. How are you doing? You sound good on the air, so I'm assuming you're doing good, too. But, yeah, I'm doing fine.
I think I'm doing pretty good, yeah. Thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. You, wow, you said this past Saturday, the Sabbath, I did something I'd never done before. I invited Jesus to eat with me at my dinner table. So when you said I could ask him anything I want, that was so...
I love that.
Yeah. So I was like, wow. Okay. And I put a plate for him, a plate for me, and I actually had lamb and broccoli this past weekend. But, yeah, so I actually invited him to eat with me. Saturday.
That's
so
amazing. I love that.
Yeah, I did. So that's amazing.
That
man.
Is
wow.
So cool.
So when you say ask him anything I want, because I invited him to dinner, right? So now you come back and you're my confirmation.
No wonder I couldn't figure out. It's like I thought, hey, listen to this. It's like I saw, what did I just say? Like I saw Jesus sitting with you in wherever you are, right?
Oh, wow. Wow. Glory to God. Yes.
I just saw, just listen to what happened to the word what the Lord just spoke to you, letting you know that he was there. Because I saw him, like, sitting with you, and you just asking him whatever you wanted, like he was your guest or something. I didn't say guest, but, you know, that's what I just said. That's amazing.
That is amazing. That's the truth. I actually got a chair, like a person was in the chair, and my little small table, and it was just me and him, and I put the chair next to my table that I eat at, and just made room for him, put a plate in front of the chair, and invited him to eat with me this past Saturday. Yeah. So that's.
Oh my gosh.
Amazed.
Look at
wow.
that. You think you're amazed, girl. How about me? I wasn't even there. And the Lord was. I love it. I love that. That's amazing.
It's true.
That
it's
is
the
amazing.
Truth.
Yeah.
Wow.
Literally,
I saw Jesus,
which should confirm to you, like I said already, but sometimes I repeat myself several times because I want to get the point across, or the Lord wants to get the point across, that, you know, it's like I saw him sitting there with you. I just said that. I go, oh, my gosh. And then she said she invited him to have dinner with her. I go, oh, my gosh, no wonder, because I saw him. So you have to understand, and I know you do, that even though that you didn't see that chair get filled up with him, I don't guess, it's like I saw him sitting there with you. That is amazing, man.
I'm about to cry. Wow.
Oh, go ahead.
I've never done anything like that before in my life. I mean, I've kind of heard people say stuff about that, but I've never did that before except for this past Saturday before Easter Sunday. And, I said, I was at work thinking about it. I said, you know what? I'm going to invite Jesus to dinner with me tonight. I'm going to do that. I'm going to set a step for him and I came home, and that's what I did. I went to my Corrales and got me some lamb chops and broccoli, and I set the table for him and I. So,
well,
wow.
I think he likes lamb.
Wow.
I think he likes lamb chops. He is the lamb.
Right.
And broccoli.
Yeah.
Wow. Girl, that blows your mind, too. Yeah. That blows my mind because I'm sitting here thinking, I just saw Jesus sitting with you asking you, what do you want? You know, like,
wow.
And then you say you did that. I mean, that's just, you have to understand on my end, I'm thinking, I just saw that. And I didn't have a clue that you did that. I mean, that is amazing. That is amazing.
That is amazing. Yeah, you have no clue. Yeah, no. I mean, like I said, it was a Sabbath, and I had never even thought about it. I was at work, and I was like, you know what? I'm not going to eat by myself tonight. I'm going to invite Jesus to dinner with me. I'm not going to eat here by myself. So.
Wow.
I got a chair. Plate and wow, that's amazing.
That's just so precise with what he was trying to say to you, that, you know, what you did meant something to him and that he was there. You know, that's what I'm hearing. It's like, because I kept seeing that. I know I repeat myself a lot on this stuff, but I just have to. Because I'm trying to realize that what was just came out of my own mouth was literally happening. I mean, you were literally inviting him to sit with you, like I saw, like in sitting with you, there with you, saying, you know, hey, Angela, what do you want? And like, just tell me, what do you want? You can have whatever you want. Ask for whatever you want.
Wow.
Like, literally, that had happened. Oh my gosh. Well, you know,
I know
the Jews. The Jews set a place for Elijah. You know, that's pretty cool. So that's not real foreign to the Bible. They set a seat for Elijah and waiting for him to come.
Oh wow, I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, when they do Passover, I think I'm saying this correctly. When they do Passover, they have a place for Elijah.
Oh.
Yeah, they set a seat for him, put a place. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know the details. Yeah, that's literally.
Glory to God.
Yeah, look it up.
I will.
Yeah.
YouTube that or
Google it or something and say, put in YouTube, set a seat for Elijah during Passover or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see it.
Okay.
Yeah, so you were being biblical and didn't even realize it. Except it wasn't Elijah, it was somebody greater than Elijah. It was Jesus. That's even better.
Right. Wow. It was so funny. Tonight I was just listening. I wasn't gonna dial in or anything. I was just listening. I kept trying to not hit one on my phone, and my phone, I was trying to turn the volume down, and it kept not going off the screen. I said, you know what, so Tommy, go ahead and hit that button, call in tonight, listen. I mean, see what your prophecy is tonight. And
yeah.
I'm glad I did, because I got confirmation. I didn't miss it.
You did. Oh, my gosh. Did you ever? That is amazing. That's absolutely amazing. Wow.
Yeah,
I love it.
I wish I would have heard you ask me what I But now I know.
What an amazing way to build people up. What more powerful way can you have to build people up in Jesus than sit there and say, Harry, how are you doing? Okay, I'm gonna mute you, I'm gonna pray for you. I start praying for you and I start seeing Jesus sitting there with you asking you, you know, whatever you want to ask for, just ask whatever you want. Don't worry about what people say you shouldn't ask for. Jesus says he's sitting right there with you. Just ask him, you know, whatever you want. And lo and behold, that's what you did. I mean, what could build somebody up more than knowing that what they did, which is kind of an odd thing to do as far as, I mean, the Jews did it. But as far as, I mean, I've never said it. I hate to say it.
Mm-hmm.
I've never done that. I'm going to do it now. I'm going to do that now. Set a place for Jesus. And that is so awesome, so beautiful. And then the fact that that happened, that just has to, you know, build you up. And look how the Lord just builds his people up. I love it.
It does. Wow, that's a strong confirmation. That's amazing. My mind is still kind of boggled right now. I'm like, wow, how in the world? Which I know how in the world is too.
Yeah.
Wow. I was just this past Saturday before Easter that I did that. So,
supernatural, totally supernatural from heaven, from Jesus, from God, from the Father.
Amen.
Wow, that's amazing. Yes. Well, I'm so glad. I'm glad you called in too. I'm glad we talked. I'm glad God's doing what he's doing tonight. All right, anything we can pray for specifically? Hey, next time, set one for Elijah, you know, maybe, and maybe Moses. That might be good. You know, on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah showed up and talked to Jesus, you know, about him dying. That's pretty awesome.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I've heard that. But, I'm glad I hit one on the phone tonight because I would have missed it. Wow.
You would have missed it. And I would have.
You had a lot of callers, and I think some people fell asleep, but I was still on. But it was late last night. But so I'm glad I got
you
tonight.
You would have missed it, and I would have missed it. I wouldn't have got to be blessed by hearing the Lord say it. You know, Angela can ask anything she wants. Just tell her I'm right there with her, and just like I'm there, and she invited him in. All right, I think we pretty well did that. Amen.
Yes.
So anything you want to pray about? Anything special?
I can ask God anything I want. I think I'm pretty good. I know I can ask him anything I want anytime I want. So that's confirmation. So I'm grateful. I'm just thank you for the message and your obedience and everything. I'm elated right now.
Amen. Well, that's what we're here for, to build people up, however God chooses to do it. Amen. All right,
yeah.
Angela, we love you, girl. Tell Jesus when you see him. I said hello.
All right, God bless. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you so much. Okay. All right, let's go ahead and take another caller here. Give me just a second here. I'll be right back. Awesome. Okay, let's take our next caller here tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Hallelujah. Let's go here to 402-214.
Oh, hey.
Karen from New York. Hey,
yes.
I called you last night, and you were already gone, I think.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I was
That's
having
okay.
a rough
I just
one.
Let it, oh, bless your heart. Yeah, I finally got to you, and then you were – You had your phone on,
Probably.
But you were gone. You were like, yeah.
Yeah.
Happens all the time.
I did. Well,
okay.
You know, it's an hour later, and sometimes I just pass
I know.
Out. Sorry. I know.
It happens. You and a bunch of other people. So it's just part of the PGN thing. If people don't fall asleep once in a while, I think there's something wrong.
Well, you know, part of it is the comfort. You know, it's comforting to hear your voice.
Oh, okay. Oh,
it's
okay.
Comforting
cool.
to hear your voice and the prayers, and so it gives you peace. And
yeah.
You know, that's part
awesome.
Of it, I think. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So thank
yeah,
you.
Plus,
I'm glad I got to talk to you tonight.
Yeah, I called you last night, but just letting you know that I missed you last night. Pray for you.
I'm
thank
sorry.
You, Jesus, for my friend tonight, what I call my Catholic friend. Gee, I don't know why I'm sure I call you my Catholic friend. I just am, just because I want to. And my sister and the lover of Jesus and Jesus, the lover of her soul. And thank you, Lord, for covering her, God, and letting her know you're covering her, that you're watching over her, God. Though sometimes you don't manifest in the natural, just like with Angela, talking with her about seeing Jesus with her, asking her ask whatever you want. And then she said it to him, man, it was amazing. And just to know that the Lord is there. And, and so we thank you, Jesus, for the spirit of comfort. I know that you're covering us, that you're watching over us, that you're, because you can be everywhere at once by the Holy Spirit and hear all of us. And know what, I don't know how that works. It's just amazing. And we thank you, Jesus, for the supernatural realm, for my sister, God, and I ask you to bless her and let her break bread with you in heaven, that holy bread be broken with her in Jesus' name, and that holy bread and the holy oil of heaven, the anointing oil of heaven, just pour down her. I see the oil of heaven like hot oil pouring down over your head, pouring down over your brain, pouring down over your head. And maybe that's what that covering is. Maybe that's what that covering is, the head covering. I know every head's being covered is being, like God is covering you. So I see a hot oil, like a warm oil, like a warm, really, I mean, hot oil pouring down on your head and just comforting you and covering you and protecting you. And I thank you, Jesus, for that, for my sister, for my Catholic friend, God, in Jesus' name. And I ask you to bless her, let her know that holy bread of God, the body of Jesus, the very body of Jesus, God, that we partake of in the spirit and in the natural and all the ways we do it. We thank you, Jesus, for every part of that in your kingdom, God, and let it be magnified in her life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Magnify the bread. Magnify the oil. Magnify the blessing of God in her life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. So how
Amen.
Are you doing?
Thank you. Oh, better tonight. I got to talk to Deborah a little bit, and that was really nice. That helped me. I was having a rough day today, but I had a wonderful Easter.
Oh, good. What did you do?
A miracle. We all went to church, my whole family, my daughter. And
really?
My son-in-law and my grandchildren. Yeah, it was wonderful. It was a big deal.
That is a big deal. I don't think that hasn't happened in years, has it? I mean, as far as...
Right. At least a year. Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. So it was great. It would be nice if it could continue. I'd like to see it.
Who knows? It could.
Yep. That's what I'm praying for. But, you know, it's funny. It's not funny, but... You know how it goes. You start to think you're praying more, you're trying to do more, and you get attacked more. So that's
yeah.
been coming too. But, you know, I
right.
got through
right.
it. I had, you know, kind of a rough day today, dealing with a lot
yeah.
of memories and things. So,
right.
But I need
well, memories
that,
are,
that anointing.
Memories are a big thing, yeah.
The oil that I've been thinking about, that holy oil, wishing that I had this film.
Yeah.
Bring it up. But that's wonderful that, you know, that to me that's says, you know, healing when you're anointed. So that's wonderful.
Yeah. That's really, really cool. So you guys took communion yesterday? Did you guys?
Yeah.
You went to the Catholic Church? What church did you go to?
Yeah. And,
okay.
You know, it was really, really nice because, you know, it was Easter, so it was very special. But,
right.
You know, I have my service dog, right? And,
okay.
And I take her in church with me. And
oh, nice.
A lot of times, you know, depending on where I've been, but I, you know, I never really, the priest never gives me any problem, but this priest, on Sunday, he went through the church, you know, all the way around everybody and he sprinkles holy water and gives a blessing.
Uh-huh.
And he made a special stop and went down and blessed my dog. He always does that. He always blesses her.
Wow.
My grandkids kind of freaked out because this lady came and got me out of the pew and said, Father wants you to come up here. And I said, okay, you know, I'm going to do whatever he tells me. So he had me come up and sit right by the altar where, like, the lectors or the people that speak, you know, or read the Bible.
Right.
Sit up there with my dog, you know. And
wow.
I knew why he did it because he didn't want me to block the aisle because she was kind of laying in the aisle.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that way nobody trip over or anything. I mean, that was why, I assume, but it was kind of nice because he didn't say, get out, you know. He brought me up front, and it reminded me of the passage of the Bible, you know, the story about if you go to a party or whatever, you know, you don't go to the front, you sit in the back.
Right.
And then if they ask you to come up, you know. So,
yeah.
I'm not saying it very well, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
you got it good, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
anyway,
that is so amazing.
But it was just really nice.
Now, is that what they do? They do water. I'm not a Catholic. You know, I don't know why they do Catholic services, but other than what I see on TV once in a while. But so they sprinkle water. They kind of do the water thing, the water blessing, what other things they do.
Yeah, he's got a little it's like a long wand type thing with a ball at the end that's got holy water in it, water that he's blessed.
Okay.
And then he went through the whole church and blessed everyone. That's just a special thing. But it's a, you know, regular mass where they have the readings and then, you know, he speaks, like gives a sermon. Okay, and then there's music and then communion, you know, the blessing of the host and the Eucharist, and you go up and you get communion. Our Father brings it. He brought it to me. But
right.
Yep, that's what you do. And it
now,
was really
let me
nice.
That's really nice. Let me ask you, you know, I've been going through this thing about, you know, the cellular, you know, what happens when we take communion? Is it really
right.
Physically the body of Jesus when we bless it? You know,
I'm
going through that right now, asking God to show me for sure so I can make a proclamation about it without any question. Because what he's showing me is that if the body and the blood of Jesus, if he said, eat my body and drink my blood, and how important it was for him, you know, to say it and the way he said it in John 6, I'm going like, you know, that's a little bit more than what most preachers I know of, they just really act like it's just a spiritual thing.
Right.
So I don't know that I exactly understand it. So how do the Catholics believe that when a priest does that? Explain that to me, please.
Okay. That you're right. Most Christians, they just believe when they do that, that it's just a representation. You know, it's
symbolic.
Just a reminder,
yeah.
A reminder of the Last Supper.
Right.
We believe is that on Holy Thursday, the Last Supper, that's what we call it, okay, on Thursday, when Jesus broke bread with the apostles and, you know, anointed their feet, and he was installing them, he was making them priests, number one. And he was showing them, this is what you do, and this is my body, and this is my blood. He didn't say this is a representation. He said this is the this is it. And yes, that's exactly what we believe. We believe that when the priest consecrates
the bread and
the host and
the wine,
it becomes the blood and the body of Jesus. And I'll tell you a secret here. One big confirmation of that is that if you ever, you know anything about the Antichrist and satanic masses and rituals, they pay big bucks to get a hold of a real Catholic Eucharist for sacrilege, to defame it, to do things against it. That's how much they believe it's the real body and blood of Christ.
So they take something that's been blessed by a priest that once the
they
priest
take,
blesses
yeah.
it, it be, they take
it
that,
becomes,
they find some of that.
Yep.
Oh, hang on a second. Let me ask you specifically, then you can answer. So they find some bread that a priest has blessed. And you guys believe that becomes literally the body of Jesus and the blood and the wine becomes literally the blood of Jesus.
Right.
And they go and they sneak around and they find some of that, and then they do bad things to it because they believe that it is.
Right. Yeah. And
okay, interesting. I did not know that.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons we always took it, the host in the mouth. You know, the priest would give it to you in your mouth, not in your hands. But now, because of COVID, and it happened before COVID, but he will give it to you in, he says to you, body of Christ, and you say, amen. And he hands you the host, and then you put it in your mouth. But a lot of people don't like that because that's what happens. People pretend, and they take it, and they leave, and they, you know, desecrate it. I don't even probably shouldn't have told you that, Don. But,
No.
But yeah.
No, it's interesting. Yeah, I wanted to know.
Did you?
I don't. I really.
Did you get?
I really don't know.
Okay. Well, I'm going to share something with you, because this is really special, but I actually, they call them Eucharistic miracles, and I sent you that little video that showed some hosts that actually have turned, you know, they actually are tissue, body, you know, they tested, and they tested it's human blood, it's human, it's actually heart tissue, and it's heart tissue that has been tortured. There's enzymes and things. Your son's a lawyer, not a doctor. I was thinking he was a doctor, but
my son's a lawyer, yeah.
Yeah, but if there's ways that you can test tissue, you know, like you've been talking a lot about the DNA and the cellular, there's ways that you can tell what this is from. Is it from your knee? Is it from, you know, your brain? Is it, well, the tissue, they tested, and that's what they call it. Once it's been blessed, they call it the Eucharist. They test the tissue, and it's shown to be heart tissue. And it's not just heart tissue, but the enzymes are so high, certain enzymes, that they can tell that the person it came from.
Wow.
It's really unbelievable, yeah. You know, with the new DNA and stuff like that. But
okay.
Me
okay. Hang on a second. Hang on a minute. Okay. That's pretty amazing. I think I might have missed part of that. You're saying that they tested some bread and some wine, or the bread that was been blessed.
They tested
by, hang
the
on
host.
A second. Let me ask you specific so you can answer so we don't confuse anybody.
Okay.
Because I really don't know about this, so I'm asking you so because I know you're Catholic.
All right.
Okay. So somebody took some bread that a priest had blessed, and he believed turned to the body of Jesus, and then they took and they examined it, and they found that it was like Jesus. He was beaten and whipped, and it was distressed. And is that kind of what you're saying?
Yes. There were certain hosts
okay.
that actually turned in. I mean, they started to bleed. The bread, if you call it the bread, started to bleed. I don't know if you saw those that I sent you.
No,
but they started
not yet. I haven't. No.
Yeah, if you look at that, that'll explain it.
Okay.
But personally, myself, I went up to communion one day. I was there at church with my children. They were younger. And I was really happy that day. You know, I was really filled with a lot of joy. And I remember coming back to the pew. You know, we went up to the altar, got the communion, came back to the pew, and we kneeled down to pray. And as I'm kneeling there, all of a sudden, I started tasting blood in my mouth. And it caught me off guard because I thought, did I bite my tongue? You know, what is this?
Yeah, right.
And it took me quite a while to that what was happening was Jesus was giving me affirmation. He was telling me, yeah, I was really blown away because I didn't expect it. I'd never heard of it. It wasn't, I was just, you know, praying and the host is thin and it dissolves in your mouth, you know, and, because we normally don't use bread, but they do sometimes, you know, a loaf of bread, you break it off, but, it's made out of bread. But anyway, I personally tasted the blood.
Hang on a second. So once you took the bread that had been blessed by a priest, and only priests, what kind of priest? A high priest? I mean, is it, what kind of priest?
No.
A special kind of priest?
All priests. That's
okay, all
what
priests.
They do. All priests.
Okay, if all priests, hang on a second. So all priests that have been approved of and sanctified or whatever by the Catholic Church, they have the power that they say they have the power to pray over the bread and or the host or whatever you call it. I'm not used to the names.
Right.
And so you took some of that. You took some of that bread, that host in your mouth, and you chewed it. And when you broke the bread or in your mouth or whatever, let it, you know, dissolve, that you tasted blood.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Wow. It was. I really haven't shared that with too many people, but it's true. And, I mean, I was very blessed to have that happen. I mean, other people have had that, but it's not a common thing, you know.
Okay.
But it's just like the Last Supper, when Peter became the first pope. That's what it's all about.
Uh-huh.
And he gave
right.
them the power to go out. You know, I wanted to mention to you, you were talking a lot about deacons. And we'll have to talk about this maybe another time, but, you know, the deacons in the church can do a lot of that as well. I'm not sure. They do a lot. They have a lot of, they're given a lot of power. They're given a lot of authority to do a lot of things.
Part.
And you were talking about the deacons. Deacons
Stevens,
can be married,
Stevens.
You know.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't know
they,
that.
Yeah, deacons can be married. Whatever state a man is in, when he becomes a deacon, he stays in that state. So if he's single, he stays single. If he's married, he stays married. There's even some Catholic priests that are married because they've been given dispensation because they were already married before they became a priest.
Oh, I see. Well, the scripture says if you're already married, be married. If you're not married, stay single.
Right.
Okay. Gotcha. Interesting. Okay. So, yeah. So I'm kind of on a journey this.
You look at those videos that video I sent you, and that'll explain some, you know, better than I can.
Okay.
But I
will.
I'm sorry
I haven't done it yet. I know you sent them to me, and I think about them off and on. Yeah. But thank you for that. And, you know, I'm obviously very curious about this because and I'm asking these things because what God is showing me is not what people are teaching me. The Holy Spirit The Holy Spirit is telling me these things and showing me these things. So I'm going I'm trying to find out who all believes this and who all doesn't and why not. That's what I want to know. So that I can teach people, so I can say, okay, I know what I believe in my spirit. I know what I know already, but to proclaim it boldly, I wait for the Lord to give that to me to do that. So that it kind of blows people's minds, you know, when you tell them something they're not used to believing in. And so I don't mind doing it. Once God shows me, I don't mind doing it. I don't care what people think.
Right.
I care what God thinks about me, and I will do it no matter what. Because what I'm interested in is seeing the Bible, the Word of God, literally become the literal body of Jesus, even when we preach it and prophesy it, that the Word of God will be engrafted on people to the point to where it will be literally Jesus' body being engrafted on people. That's what I'm starting to see. That's what I'm starting to think. That's where he's taking me with this. So that's why I'm even talking about it. Believe me, I'm not a Catholic. I'm not anything really. I'm just kind of I'm hungry for Jesus, and I don't really care. I'm not afraid to ask questions.
I remember God started showing you this over a year ago about the communion. It might have even been a couple years now.
Showing who that?
But I remember.
Me?
Yeah, God was showing this about at least over a year ago. He started talking to you about this. And but I've never said anything. But I can tell you this, that I believe the Catholic Church is the only church that believes it is truly the body and blood of Christ. Now, the Episcopalians, I believe, you know, they're close, but I'm not sure. I have to tell you, I have to be honest, I'm not sure. I don't believe they think that it's, or if they do, I'm not sure. As far as, it used to be. It's only the Catholic Church that believes it's really, truly the body and blood of Christ.
Right, okay.
And all of my husband was Methodist, you know, their communion was just, you know, my cousins are Baptist, their communion, it's all a representation, but they don't believe that it's truly the body and blood of Christ.
Right, okay. Okay, hang on with that a minute. I know one person, since I've been on this journey, and you may have heard me talk about it about a year ago, that I've been searching, I was listening to Derek Prince. Derek Prince is a spirit-filled man of God who most people, he was from England, I think, and I got to see him once at Christ for the Nations back in the 70s. He was there, just happened to be at the meeting that I was at. John Osteen was there. A.W. Tozer was there, I believe, A.W. Tozer, and some other people. And so, you know, I just happened to be there. It's the first time God spoke to me audibly. scare me half to death. It freaked me out. It scared me. Actually, it scared me half to death. God spoke my name, Randy. Just like this, Randy. And I was outside Christ of the Nations. I'd just been at those meetings. I just got saved. You know, I've been saved for a couple of months maybe. You know, I didn't know nothing. I didn't even think about God speaking audibly. I didn't even think about it. Nobody even mentioned it to me. And I'm standing outside, you know, with this friend of mine, and she's and so the reason I knew that I wasn't just hearing things is because it shocked me. I turned to her and I said, "Did you hear that?" She said, "Did you hear your name being called? Did you hear my name? Did you hear my name being called?" She says, "Well, no, I heard my name being called." I said, "You did? You heard your name being called?" I said, "Oh my God!" So he was calling her name the same time he was calling my name, and it was audible.
Isn't that wild? It's wild when God does stuff like that. But I've never heard name audibly. I've never heard him audibly speak to me.
Yeah, I've only heard it one time. Yeah, I've only heard it one time like that, and I've heard him do it in ways it sounded audible, like when he shouted Joseph Biden to me. That woke me up. It sounded audible, but I don't think it was audible, but it was like audible. But I've never had an audible like that before at Christ of the Nations back in 1973, I think it's 73, 74, somewhere in there. And it was earth-shaking. It shook me up. I didn't even know, you know, I didn't get the big head because I thought God was tough. It scared me. I was like going, oh, God, he just called my name. Hey, Randy, God, I wish I would have said something like, "Hey, yeah, what's up, man? Here I am." But I didn't.
Yeah,
I freaked out. I went, "Oh my God!" I asked her right away. I looked at her. I went, "Did you hear that? Did you hear that?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Did you hear him call my name?" She says, "No, I heard him call my name." And she was like, maybe 5 foot from me, 10 foot from me.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That's the confirmation right there. You know, that it was God. Yeah. Well, Randy, when you heard that, didn't it feel kind of like a hiccup in time or something? I mean, there was something a little different about.
Different. It just scared me. All I can say is that it was so audible. I mean, you know, that's why I'm so glad there was somebody there, because I would have thought, you know,
kind of went
I'm just
all the
hearing
way through,
things,
yeah,
you know.
Huh?
Because I've had people tell me, like when I heard Joseph Biden's name shouted to me, "Oh, you're just hearing voices." I'm talking about people that are close to me.
Oh
you're hearing voices. You know, and I
yeah.
knew I didn't hear voices. You know, I knew that didn't faze me at all. I don't even. I'm so used to people saying all kinds of stuff, and I don't even care anymore.
I know.
But the fact that, you know, sometimes a little confirmation helps, because sometimes you think, you know. So I'm glad that she was there, and she said he called her name, which even made it more amazing that we both heard audibly our names said at the same time. It shocked us both so much. We both turned around like, what is that?
And
he was saying my name and saying her name at the same time. It was just mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling.
It's unbelievable that. You know, then you all of it's like, you know what I always say, though, it just tells me we all believe in miracles, right? And we believe in God, and we believe that he can speak to us and do things for us, you know. But when he does, we all, like, freak out, you know. It's like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like, even
I know.
I mean, he's prophesied through you all the time. And it's still like, oh, my God, listen to this.
It does.
It's awe.
I do. I'm always surprised. Like when I was giving that word to Angela tonight from South Carolina, I kept seeing Jesus sitting right there with her, you know. And so what I found out, she had just Saturday night set a table for him to have dinner with him. I mean, I don't even think she connected that was what that was. I don't even think she connected that until I said it, I don't think. But it does.
Right.
It surprises me. I'm still surprised. Like a little kid, I'm like,
oh,
my God, really? That's amazing. Hang on a minute. I wanted to finish up with with that man of God I was talking about earlier. Not John Osteen.
Derek
Prince. Anyway, so I heard Derek Prince who's a very well-known, respected, sober-minded, charismatic, very sober-minded, not hyper or nothing. He's just the most solid kind of guy that most people want to be just like him. He's very well-known. And I heard him, literally. I brought this up about a year ago because I was shocked. I just happened to listen to one of his teachings one night, which I've listened to very few of them in my whole life. I just happened to clone on to YouTube or something, and and all of a sudden he said, I know this may surprise you all, but I believe that when we take the blood in the body of Jesus, that we're actually taking the blood in the body of Jesus. I went, oh my God, that's what God had been showing me. You know, I'm going like, oh my God, and for him to say that. And he's not a flaky supernatural freak or anything. He is. He believes in the supernatural. Right. He's seen a lot of things. For him to say that just kind of like went, oh my gosh, you know.
Right.
So it's taken time.
Yeah.
It's taken time for me to get this, but I'm getting it. And when I get through getting it, believe me, the whole world's going to get it just the way God gives it to me. And I hope they can handle it because I think it's going to cause miracles, signs, and wonders to happen like we've never seen before.
Yes, it will. And what is amazing, even though, you know, I've gone by faith, you know, I didn't need the science. I don't need it. But it's there now, you know, and I've seen atheist scientists that, you know, become Christian, you know, because it's just, there's, you know, it just proves there's God, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the more science they do, the more it proves God. And more proves Jesus. So I just laugh. But there is science out there now, and that shocked me. That was pretty cool. You know, they've even got his blood type. And one of the things that is cool about it is that his blood type, his DNA, you know, you need a mom and a dad, right?
Yeah.
Well, Jesus' chromosomes is just the mom. There's no dad. Yeah.
I mean, that literally showed up in their scientific when they took... Oh, my gosh.
Yep. But people don't want to hear it. They don't want to see it. But I guess this is why God works through you, you know?
Hey, you can use a real donkey this time. Hallelujah.
No.
You know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I understand.
I don't mind. I know I'm nothing. I have nothing. Without him, I know I'm nothing. There's no doubt about that at all.
Yeah.
But if he shows us stuff, it's because he's got somebody that'll believe him no matter what. That's just like, you say that, God, okay, you know. That's it, man. That's what it's going to be.
And it's just like, oh man, I don't know. It's like, how can someone see it right there and not accept it? But that's the gift of faith. That's a gift.
Oh, it went on.
It
went on for years. It went on for years with Jesus that he would do signs, wonders, and miracles right in front of them, and they still wouldn't believe it.
Right. I always wondered though, but I've been smart enough to recognize. I hope so, but I don't know.
I don't know. Me too. I'm not going to sit here and say I've got it all. I'm going to, you know, I pray every day, you know, or I don't know, every day. Most of the time I'm praying, you know, God, just don't let me miss your visitations. Don't let me miss anything. Because I have a feeling we miss a whole lot of things. I miss a whole lot of things because just like you're trying to show me about the body and the blood, and now he's taking me to he's taking me through the cellular department and and the DNA is starting to speak to me about that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so once God, I tell most people who have a hard time believing things, I say, well, I don't go to scientists and then hear what the scientists say and then go, okay, God, that's cool. What God does with me, nothing wrong with that, nothing wrong with that. But what God does with me is that he tells me personally, and then I go and find it. You know, there it is. Okay, that's why I ask it. I said, who really believes that we're eating his literal body and is drinking his literal blood when you pray over it? Who literally believes that? Because that's what he's starting to show me. I mean, I'm like going, my God, can that really be God? I mean, I know you've told me, but But it's like you're bringing me to another realm right now of it, to where I think we're going to start seeing miracles because of it. And like you said, I think the Catholic, I think you're right. I don't know. Derek Prince, that's why I brought up Derek Prince, because Derek Prince believed it.
Yeah.
He's not Catholic. You know, he's a charismatic. Yeah. He's dead now.
That's because God came to him and told him that, and God's come to you and told you that. But as far as the church goes, it's the Catholic Church is the only one that believes it is truly the body and blood, that during the Mass, they do every day, that's what the whole thing's about, is consecrating.
Right.
And Randy, there are actually people who have lived 40 years only on the Eucharist, on a host, one little host.
Oh, really?
Yes. So, you know,
when he said his bread is eternal life, he literally meant that, didn't he? Eat it.
Right.
It's like, that's all you need. You know?
God always speaks to me literally. Because I need it
that's
spelled out in black and white. So he talks to me literally. So.
Oh, yeah,
everybody.
I need it all kinds of ways. I need it every kind of way he wants to give it to me. So that once he seals it with me, once it's a done deal with me, I honest to God, just like the Biden thing, when God told me Trump's not going to win anything after 11/34, after the 7th of November, once that was it, you heard me. I mean, if you were listening, you heard me say it.
Yep.
That's it for Donald Trump. It's out. He's gone, done, kapooch. It's it. That's it. I came boldly, not because I figured it out, but because God used that to show me specifically, that's it. Done deal. It's over. And everybody else is like going, oh, he just, who do you think you are? And, you know, you can't say that. Donald Trump, he's got all kinds of things up his sleeve. I said, I don't care what he's got up his sleeve. He ain't got nothing worth anything up his sleeve. I guarantee you that. And I like Donald Trump in a lot of ways. And
I
like
his
big mouth in many ways. I mean, I had nothing against him. I voted for him
twice.
So that's the thing I had going for me, is that I could tell people I voted for him. I liked him. You know, why would I say this? I didn't dislike him. I'm not criticizing, finding fault with him like a lot of people did. I liked him. You know, he had his faults, definitely. There's some things I awfully didn't like about him. But who cares about, you know, like, okay, so we can overlook some things. And so that was my thing. And so for God to show me that, people had to listen to me a little bit closer, because I'm not an enemy. I was an enemy of Trump.
Well, and maybe that's why you know, God had you supporting him or until then, because that way people would believe you, would recognize, you know, that it was him speaking to you about it. Because you know what I read after that in the Bible was that this is one way for God to weed out the false prophet, was when their prophecies, if they say it's the word of God and it does not come true, that means they're a false prophet. I mean, it says that in the Bible.
Yeah. Well, that's not exactly. It says.
Okay.
But I've taught on that before, so I'm not going to get into it right now. But I mean, we have to. Some people, you know, I don't want to get into that right now, but
okay. Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not an expert in that area. Not my.
False prophets are people who try to sway people to worship another god. That's basically what a false prophet is. And so, you know, and then it goes on and talks. I don't want to get into that right now. So anyway, all right. I got my questions answered, so I'm going to move along
now.
So it's been awesome.
Thanks
for
your
prayers.
Thank you, Randy.
Right.
God bless.
Thank you. Thanks for the answers. Thanks for answering my questions. That's why I want to talk to her tonight. One reason is I wanted to ask her about that. So I'm not afraid to ask if you have a problem with that. Well, God bless you. He'll get over it. All right. He'll help you. He'll help you get over it. All right, 940-224.
Yes, this is Michael.
Hey, Michael. I've missed you the last couple of nights. I think I missed you last night. Got you tonight. All right, let's mute you for a second. Let's pray for you. Thank you, Lord, for Michael, God. I just speak the breath of God on Michael, God, that the best way to get set free of fear fear of failure, fear of going down, fear of not making it, fear of never coming out of it, is the voice of God. The voice of God is the answer to everything. So we must, like we talked at the start of the show tonight, with talking about Gary and learning, you know, him learning to speak through that, learning to let God speak to us, learning to listen to God, what God says, and not what people say. Because we can, I've done this before. I have literally done this before. I have gone through and listened to this prophet and that prophet and that prophet and been influenced by prophets who said something was going to happen and it wasn't going to happen. And I just thought, well, they're men of God, so I just start believing it, and then I start passing it on, you know, and, you know, because that's just kind of what, you know, they're so convincing. When they're convinced of something, they're very convincing. That's the way I've gone through that, and I've failed in that area before. I've talked about it here publicly. And so it taught me to go, like Jonathan Kahn came out, Michael, and said, you know, Jonathan Kahn's a well-known teacher. He got into some things with his book that were pretty amazing teachings. I thought they were great teachings. And then he tried to become a prophet and saying that something was going to happen with the economy. And I'm an economy prophet. I mean, that's one of my jobs, you know, around the world. You know, that's one of the things I'm mainly known for in the financial area, around the world. People, they know who I am because of that. And so, you know, so I'm listening to this guy, right? And I'm not feel cocky about it or like I know everything. I don't know everything. But I listen to him because I'm a financial person, right? God speaks to me about the market. So I'm listening to Jonathan Kahn. I never got any of his books or anything, but I heard what he was saying. I heard very plainly what he was saying. And he was putting a date on some things, a general date, and even a specific date on some things. And, you know, if you've been listening long enough, you know that I came in on the show about 2 or 3 months before he said this thing was going to happen. You know, like some of those other prophets. If I'm a prophet of God, you know, or he would say something like, if the word of God is the word of God, and it's that, then this is going to happen. And he would say stuff like that. And I'm like going, oh, my God, you know. So I started praying about it, and God just spoke to me. He said, that's not going to happen, right? That's not going to happen. Tell everybody it's not going to happen. I said, you want me to tell everybody it's not going to happen? Okay. So I got on my show one night. I said, you know, Jonathan Kahn, he's all over the place. He's on Fox News. He's at the president's prayer breakfasts, all over the place. He's preaching. People believe him. They're buying his books. He's making millions of dollars on his book. And everybody's believing what he's saying. You know, he's got the scripture with that scripture and another scripture with another scripture. He's got all these experts and all this stuff going on, this stuff happening. And all fits together like a puzzle, perfectly puzzle, and this is going to happen. And I'm telling you that what he's saying, it ain't going to happen. It is not going to happen. Hear me clearly. The Lord says that ain't going to happen the way he said it's going to happen. Well, sure enough, a few months later, it took him a few months to admit it, that he, you know, that God obviously changed his mind, which God never had his mind on that, honestly. So saying he changed his mind wasn't true, but saying things changed. I mean, he had to come out publicly and say that. I saw the video myself where he said, you know, it took him a few months. It takes a few months that when you do stuff like that to, you know, to make sure it didn't get delayed and blah, blah, blah. So I've told people that he's not a prophet. Stay out of the prophet lane. You're a great teacher, got some great teaching stuff. Hey, great job. But prophet, you're not. Not like a real prophet. Maybe prophesy a little bit here, fix some things, put things together. But you're not a prophet. I mean, you know, so that's not going to happen. And it didn't happen. And he had to admit it didn't happen. You know, and I'm, you know, so I don't want to make a big deal out of that, except for, I'm talking to Michael and I said, you know, God really wants to show you how to just be careful not to just listen to people because when they're convinced, like he was so convinced that was going to happen. And when people are convinced, it's not like they're trying to lie. Not like he was trying to lie and deceive people. He wasn't doing that. He actually believed that very strongly. That's why he said it, and that's why it was so convincing, and that's why the book sold like crazy and made millions of dollars on his books, because he really believed it. So we have to be careful, Michael, to what we listen to, because when people can be wrong, sincerely wrong, really believe what they're saying and be sincere and pure as they can be and be nice people, and be a good teacher and have a gift of teaching, and be completely wrong, through and through wrong on it. So, you know, and we've been at other things, some little bit on Donald Trump, you know, after 11/34, and on the 7th of November, you know, then I could go ahead and say, you know, that ain't going to happen. Everybody said Trump's going to come back, Trump this, Trump that. You know, and the only reason I can say that is because as a prophet, when God showed me something for sure, you know, and he confirms it to me, then I can say for sure that is not going to happen. Doesn't matter how many prophets are saying it, how convinced they are. I watched videos for months after the election, after the 7th of November when, you know, everybody said Biden, he cheated, he did all that. And whatever he did, I'm not saying he didn't do stuff, they didn't do stuff. I know what they did, but nobody's asking me, so I'm not saying, you know, but because he showed me that, you know, a year before, you know, 2 years before. So that they were going to, you know, decide they knew what was best for America and do what they decide. And that's exactly what happened. Without anybody's permission, they did it. So they did do something. But anyway, but after that, I knew that was it. We're headed for the end times. Joseph Biden is a sign of the end times. So, you know, so learning to hear, Michael, the voice of God, instead of how convinced somebody is that what they're saying is true and being able to discern the difference, it even took me time to work through that. So God wants to show you how to, you know, be careful who you listen to, what you're listening to, because even the people that are totally convinced and maybe be nice people, maybe pure as a driven snow, does not mean that it is right and of God as a prophet. The general principle of teaching can be right, but as a prophet realm, it's a whole different thing. Principles and feasts and all the things, people tie things together and try to say, yeah, this is going to happen because, you know, this feast happened and everything, and now we're coming up, all this added up here. And they'd be totally wrong. And we made a public example of that. And it's not the last time that's going to happen. It's going to happen a lot more. It's going to happen with conspiracy theories, all kinds of things. We're going to bust right through them, and it's going to make people mad for a little while until it doesn't happen, like they say, like they're thinking, because the whole world's trying to be deceived by fear. So my whole word to you is, starting from the very beginning, prophesying to you, is that the way to get rid of fear of missing it and a fear of failure, fear of the fears, is knowing the voice of God. So God really wants you to plunge your life into him in a new way, a new level. You say, God, you know, just speak to me and help me hear what's of you and what's just people that are nice people, good people, convinced people, but wrong people, to know your voice and be able to hear that so that I won't fear, have any kind of fears. I'll be, you know, totally delivered of fear, in Jesus' name, amen, by the voice of God. All right, Michael, what's going on, man?
Amen. You know, I've just been, you know, trying to seek out the Lord, and I've been just, I'm in financial need right now because, and, you know, looking for a job and just things of that nature.
Right. Yeah, you have a cycle going on with that. You've had cycles of going in and out of that. And, you know, I've had the same things happen to me, exactly. Maybe not exactly, but we need to, I want to believe God with you to break that cycle to where you can be, you know, God can be consistent with you, you know, and this happens to a lot of people, especially in, you know, in times of, quote, trouble. You know, the coronavirus has messed up a lot of people. But, you know, I know a lot of people who have been nothing but blessed through it, you know, and because, you know, there's something about breaking through into the going from the temporary realm of in and out and up and down and where the enemy did, and like I say, I've been there, I've done that, I've been in and out, up and down on different things, in different ways. So I know that, and it's a fear. Fear tries to hit you. Fear tries to tell you, you know, that God's not going to help you, that you're not going to make it, that it's not going to be. So that's why I think the word saying tonight, and he wants to hone you in on, focus on the voice of God and listen to the voice of God in a way that you never have before. Because when you hear his voice and you're led by him, you'll never fail. You'll never be, I'm not saying people, everybody hears the voice of God can be millionaires or be successful in business. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that, you know, he you know, like when the Lord says that, you know, he leads me beside still waters. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack anything. And so I think God's really going to use you as an example of how he's going to do that. And you can be, you're going to be a trophy and an example. I think I gave you that word a couple of weeks ago or last week or something. In fact, God's going to use you as a trophy to – okay. Yeah, okay, thank you. I thought I remembered that. Because I'm hearing the same kind of thing right now. That's why I'm the Lord saying all this to you, because he doesn't want me to feel sorry for you. He doesn't want me to go, oh, poor him. He wants me to say to you the word of the Lord. I speak the word of the Lord to people. I don't feel sorry for them, or I don't dislike them for something or whatever. I speak the word of the Lord to them. I speak the word of the Lord to my enemies. My enemies know that if they call into my show, that unless they call to disrupt and call a problem, they know that I will prophesy to them. It don't matter what things they know that about me. So I don't have a thing going on with trying to straighten people out. No, my job is to speak the word of the Lord. God wants to use you as a trophy of how someone could have the cycles that you've gone through of a failure with your marriage and the child being, away from you, and all the pain and heartache that you've gone through and the things that have happened to you, to totally turn you around supernaturally, I should say, by the word of God and by the Spirit of God, and use as a trophy of what to look at a person and go, they're successful. I'm not saying a millionaire. I'm not saying, got everything going on with money. I'm just saying successful, a blessing, a solid person that you can depend on and that can help you in a time of trouble instead of the other. So that's what I see God doing with you, and that's why I hear the Lord, the Lord keeps saying, tell him this, Randy, tell him this, tell him I'm going to use him as a trophy, to look to me, to learn to listen to my voice. And when you listen to the voice of God, there's no fear in his voice. There's no fear in his voice at all. And fear always leads us to failure. Every time I feared, I failed. To one degree or the other, I failed. Every time I feared man, which I have talked about that publicly, how God told me one time, he says, the fear of man, Randy, God spoke this to me. I was being a security guard at a place. I just moved to this into town, this city, didn't know anybody, didn't have any money, didn't have anything. So I go to work in the security. And I'm walking around, doing the security thing with my little badge on, making, probably $5 an hour. I mean, it wasn't much. Just trying to live, trying to exist. And, God speaks to me. He says, right in the middle of that, he says, the fear of man grieves me more than anything. And I thought, it was plain as day, like I'm talking to you. The fear of man grieves me more than anything, more than witchcraft, more than evil, more than anything. He said, that grieves me more than anything. Michael, and I went, yeah, I know some people like that. That's why I first thing, I know some people like that, that they fear people. I don't. I'm bold, man. I'm full of Holy Ghost. That's what I'm telling God. He says, and eventually it took him a little while to show me. He said, no, I'm talking to you, boy. I'm talking to you, Randy. Wake up. Every time, so when I finally received it, after a dream or two and torment me at night, if you will, by giving me dreams of people I didn't like, telling me not to fear man, I finally got it, So then he starts showing me that every time I ever failed in life in any way, before I got saved, ever got saved, was the fear of man. I feared what people were thinking. I feared men. And when I did, failure hit me. God says, I let that happen to you because I wanted you to learn something. I didn't want people to feel sorry for you. Poor Randy. No, I wanted him to learn. I wanted you to learn. And so, just like you, you're a strong person. You love God. You want to serve Jesus. You want to do what he said. So he's really putting within you this. And you're going to be a testimony. I can just hear it now. Michael coming on and saying, okay, Randy, you need $1,000. I'm going to send you $1,000, right now, okay? Here it comes. Ding. Came in. Hey, Michael from Texas just gave $1,000. Thank you, Michael. I'm just talking about money. I'm just talking about you being able to be. That's what I see you, and God using you for that.
Good.
Amen.
And I know you believe it. I do believe it.
Yeah. Well, you better.
You know, I do have
you,
this,
man.
Like, how do you overcome the fear of man? Because I've been finding myself kind of fearing the opinions of others and then trying to,
sure.
in some, you know, trying to fit in and blend in a little bit.
Well, I did the same thing. I was the same way, Michael. I was the same way. I found myself, I'm going to be real honest right now. I hope there's not very many people listening because I'm about to be raw right now about most times in my life. Spirit-filled, love Jesus, saved to the bone, right? I don't have any hidden sin going on. You know, I'm walking with God. Well, I went through some things to where one of my best friends, he kind of became controversial. And I knew he was real. I knew he was right on. He had a lot of good things. He had his problems. You know, everybody's got problems. He had a problem. And so some of his enemy friends came and had a meeting with him and got together with him. And so they kind of got me, you know, behind his back, trying to get me to say something negative about him. Well, guess what? I did. Oh, yeah, Billy, he's got, you know. And after I did that, it's like I felt like Peter. I did. Honest to God, man. Because I bowed to fear. I wanted them to love me because I was close to them. I was close to both groups. I was close to him. He was my friend. Him and his wife were my really good friends. He was kind of my pastor. And he was, you know, I was working with him in the ministry. And yet those other people is the people that we used to be with. And now they kind of came in and, you know, were having a special meeting with him and blah, blah, blah. And they, I knew they didn't like him, you know. But so instead of taking up for him, what did I do? I said, yeah, he's like, you know, he's got some real issues, you know, just so they could like me.
See, and the crazy thing is, just recently at this last job I was at before things, the last job I was at, I went through the same exact thing. This coworker I was really good friends with, other workers didn't like him. They were all coming to me, trying to get me to say something bad about him. I did because I wanted to kind of fit in that group too. And, you know, I didn't want to be shunned. But, I mean, in the end, I ended up being shunned anyways because of another incident. But
yeah, I can relate. The same thing happened to me. I got shunned anyways. Like, they didn't really care about me. They just wanted somebody who was on his side to say something. I didn't say he was in sin. I said enough, though, to shame him. You know, and they went, yeah, that's what we thought, you know, like. And then after I did it, I go, oh, my God, I know exactly how Peter felt when he denied the Lord. That's how I felt, even though he wasn't the Lord, he wasn't perfect. But it was like God wanted me to, you know, he tested me to see if I would, you know, stand up for him. And I didn't. And Michael, I felt like such a donkey, man, coward. I felt like a coward. I felt so bad. I said, man, I'm so weak. You know, and that's one of the things when I was walking years later, when I was in a whole other part of Texas, and I was just got to that town, and I just moved there, and the job I had was security. You know, I got a security because it was easy to get a security job and making a little bit of money, and I'm walking through there, and the Lord said, you know, the fear of man. When he told me that, I said, yeah, I know some people like that. He said, no, I'm talking about you. And that's one of the things he brought back to my mind to show me. He said, remember that? He wasn't condemning me. He wasn't saying, you bad, ignorant person, I don't like you anymore. He was just saying, no, let me show you an example, Randy. Remember this memory? I went, yeah, I remember that memory. That was a bad memory, Jesus. Why do you have to bring that one up? Because I'm trying to teach you something and you're not listening to me. I'm going, oh, sorry. You know? And then he starts showing me other things that were similar to that but different. And I tell you, brother, the thing that woke me up was I had to realize that what he was saying wasn't for somebody else. He was talking about that with me. And it was the Lord telling me that. It wasn't some prophet. It wasn't somebody else. It was the Lord himself in my spirit speaking to me like I'm talking to you, plain as day. It said, the fear of man grieves me more than anything. So what opened my eyes to that is that when he finally convinced me, when I finally became convinced, then the next thing I did, I said, okay, God, I'm sorry. I see that weakness. I see that. Please forgive me. Help me to not be like that. Help me to not be like that. And it was a process, Michael. It took time. But first, the number one thing was that I had to realize that that was my problem And not somebody else, like I first told the world, when he told me, yeah, I know somebody like that. I know a lot of people like that. No, I'm talking about you. You basically took a few months, but no, I'm talking to you, Randy Chandler. You, not anybody else. I'm talking to you. You need to pluck that out of your eye because that's going to bring failure to you. And I didn't even know I was a prophet at the time. I didn't even know I was going to be in ministry at the time. I was just, you know, trying to exist, and I love witnessing, telling people about Jesus. You know, on that part of my life, I was very bold. Didn't have any fear about that much. But, so it took time. I had to admit it. I had to come to God and say, you know, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's me. Sorry. You know, I'm like Peter, okay. Sorry. Help me to overcome this. And just like Peter overcame it and ended up not denying Jesus, you know, years later when he was crucified upside down on the cross, you know, that began to develop inside of me because God was trying to teach me that, Michael, because when you're a prophet, you can't be saying Donald Trump ain't going nowhere, he ain't doing nothing, when everybody else is saying he's doing something, right? You can't do that and be afraid of what people are thinking. So that's the road years later that gives me the strength to go against what everybody else is saying, not because I'm against them, but because the Lord showed me something completely different. I'm not afraid to stand up and be persecuted or they said some things about me. I don't even like to talk about it, you know. They said some things about me just lately. Oh, there's somebody out there saying, you know, that, and they're saying exactly what I've been saying, but challenging the prophets and, you know, all things. And they're very upset about it. And so, but you know what? I just decided that I'm on God's side, and because I'm on God's side, God's on my side. Because I'm on his side, he's on my side. So I don't have to fear any of that. And that's what I'm talking about, the fear thing. Yeah, the fear thing. But I could enter into fear, man, tomorrow if I wasn't careful. I'm not gonna sit here and say that I couldn't go back to that. I could. So, but you asked me how, and I try to explain it to you the best I can. I had to acknowledge it, be convicted of the Holy Spirit of it, and say, God, you know, cry out of the depth of my heart, God, yes, I'm a denier of you. When I denied that, my friend. I denied you when I denied him. Forgive me for that, Jesus. Cut me at the heart and help me cut a covenant with you where I will never do that again. And it was a process. It doesn't happen overnight.
Okay. And I do have a prayer request. I wanted to pray for my brother Isaiah.
Isaiah?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, Isaiah, that's it?
Isaiah and Dion.
Okay. And Dion?
Yeah, so that's another brother. Well, like my brother.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm gonna mute you and I'll pray for them. That's why I'm asking you to make sure that's it. So Isaiah and Dion. You said Dion?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you, sir. All right, I will do that, Michael. Thank you for being with us. Thanks for being honest tonight. I love that about you. And God loves that about you. When we're honest, God will change us. When we lie to ourselves and lie before God, which many people do it all the time, it causes things to mess up. The fear of man grieves God more than anything. Look at Samuel, the prophet. When Saul feared what the people thought. That's how he lost his kingdom. Could he fear what people thought? You know, it's amazing. I first seen the fear of man, I thought, that's worse than witchcraft and voodoo and all the evil arts and all that. He said, yeah. It grieves me more than all that, just the fear of man, because the fear of man is the root of a lot of things. Anyway, so we pray for Isaiah tonight, God. We thank you for Isaiah. We thank you, Lord, for having mercy and compassion on Isaiah, God, that Isaiah will become a true servant, a true listener, a true person of victory. God, that Isaiah will become that victor in Christ Jesus, that he will not live in defeat. He will not live in spiritual poverty, but he will live in spiritual victory, a spiritual the treasures of heaven, God. I thank you for opening up the treasures of heaven to Isaiah, God, in Jesus' name. And any kind of compromise that he's in or he's thinking about, God, I'm thanking you to save him from that, protect him from that, keep him from that, and help him, Jesus, to be true to you and be true to himself and be by being true to you, God, in Jesus' name. And I thank you for Dion, God, that Dion, God, for the prayer. I thank you for causing him to is the prayer mantle in his life, that there's a thing in him that cries out to God. And I thank you, Jesus, for Dion crying out to you, God, and crying out for your voice, crying out for your love, crying out for your mercy, crying out for your compassion, God, and you pour your compassion out on Dion, God, and use Dion, God, to turn Dion around, Father, in Jesus' name, and break all the stiff neck, all the stiff stuff, stiff neck things in his life, in Jesus' name, and let him be humble and broken before you, God, in reality on the inside and not just on the outside, but humble on the inside, willing to admit when you're wrong, willing to confess, get things out in the open, and stop not lying to himself, but speaking the truth and be an example of, you know, what it's like when you're honest before God and you tell the truth and at all times. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord, for the technology realm for these two. I don't know what the technology realm has to do, but the technology realm, open that up for them in Jesus' name and bless them with that right now in the name of Jesus. Technology realm. Amen. All right. Don't have a clue what any of that means. There you go. All right, y'all. We're going to call it a night tonight. It's been awesome. Bye-bye. All is well with everyone. God bless you. Thank you for your love for what we do and how we pray and minister to people, pray for and minister to people, and exalt the name of Jesus. Thanks God for Gary's testimony tonight and what God's going to do with all this stuff. It's going to be amazing. It is amazing, and it's just going to get more amazing all the time because Jesus is being lifted. When you exalt the Lord, lift him up, you know, we get drawn to him, all kinds of things. People get lifted, drawn to him. Lift up Jesus, and all men will be drawn to you. Lord, we just lift you up. Teach us, show us how to lift you up, Jesus, so that all men will be drawn to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to call it a night tonight. Thank God for everybody. That's my last call with my hand up. So, all right, we love you guys. Bless you. See you tomorrow.